much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Last June, a Los Angeles radio station introduced its audience to a new comedy segment, Confess Your Crime. But just before 9 a.m., the fun ended with a call from an unidentified man who made a chilling confession. What you're about to hear are excerpts of the actual call heard by 500,000 listeners.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Well, it's getting dark. We should probably start a fire.
Man, how do we do that? Hey, do you think there's directions about starting fires in the song, We Didn't Start the Fire?
I don't think so.
I better go through it all. Stuff and stuff, history and stuff and stuff, people, someone's name, history and sports, big disaster, someone's name, stuff and stuff, history, someone's name, something I don't know, famous guy, movie star, don't know who these people are, stuff and history, yelling really loud at me. Okay, how's the fire coming?
And now.
It's Taco Thursday! This is LeBron James, by the way.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday morning, the 24th of Rocktober.
I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit disappointed today.
I miss
James Bond Kevin. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I miss sophisticated Kevin yesterday. It's funny. That was a treat.
You go with James Bond Kevin. I go with, real estate agent Kevin. I don't think it was quite as dapper as you remember it.
Listen, if I get to pick, I'm going to pick James Bond.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
Fine. That's allowed.
Yeah.
Ali, you're with me. I mean, he was suave and sophisticated yesterday, right?
Absolutely. He was drinking his coffee with his pinky up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was like, we get it, Kevin. You're a different man today.
It's an all new dude, man. And now he's just
not happy with it.
Just
you know what he's doing?
Skateboard kid, Kevin, again.
He's wearing an LA Galaxy shirt. That's what he's doing because there's a big game tonight.
Yeah, there is.
Playoffs. That's why I'm wearing it.
Oh, you don't have to tell Allie, man. She keeps track every minute of the playoffs.
LAFC versus Galaxy. It's the Battle of LA, yo. Whoever wins goes on. It's one and out. Boom.
This has been Sports with Allie McKay. Guys, I have often said, we have a very big program today. We'll get to it in a moment. I have often expressed my admiration for smart people, in particular for scientists.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Smart people in suits, especially. Scientists blow my mind with the stuff that they are able to figure out, the stuff that they're able to do. I mean, especially astronomers. I mean, when they tell us about something that's 400 million light years away and they tell us what happened 500,000 years ago in that spot in space. I mean, I don't even understand how you begin to comprehend stuff like that.
Sure.
And then I see experiments like this, and I think, I mean, thank God that there are people who do these things, but how does anyone ever think about this? The University of Richmond, researchers there are trying to figure out if there's anything that we can do to help with mental health issues that do not involve drugs. So they're looking for things like for schizophrenia and depression, if there's any things that they can have people do ultimately that will make them happier without using medication.
Right.
Okay. Okay? I mean, like running.
Yes. Okay. Exactly.
Which they already know.
What effects, you know, different kinds of stimuli and hormones have on the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So what they've done, this one experiment that they have done, is they have taught a group of 17 rats how to drive little plastic cars.
That's a terrible idea.
How cute.
That's not what I thought. I thought that's what we need is a bunch of rats on the road in Southern California as well.
I mean, is the idea being we see it and we go, oh, and it makes us get out of our depression?
No, it's so darn cute. Adorable.
Let me tell you about the... So what they did is they built these tiny electric cars by attaching a clear plastic jar to an aluminum plate fitted to a set of wheels, and then they put copper wire threaded horizontally across the jar. Three different bars, left, right, and center. And if you want to drive the car, all the rat has to do is get in the car and then sit on the aluminum plate and touch the copper wire, completing the circuit. And then the rat can drive. He can point the car in whatever direction he wants and steer it and drive it all around the
But does he understand driving? Does he know what direction to point it?
Kevin wants to know his motivation.
I mean, come on.
No, but what he does know is when he climbs into his little electric car, it goes. that's what he knows, and he's a, you know, he's a sentient being, and he recognizes, hey, if I do this, this will happen.
So, I notice all of you are calling these rats he. Go on.
There may have been some girls.
They're
bad
drivers, so.
I'm not sure. Yeah, you don't want to start. You don't want to start with girl rats, don't you? Because then it's just nothing but accidents. So after months of training, the rats not only learned how to make the ratmobile move, but also how to change direction. And apparently, they were just having the time of their lives out there, just riding.
They use their signals
like bumper cars. You know what I mean? Just these rats are just living their best life every day. They can't wait to get down to the track and just go for it. Right?
That's a terrible idea.
And now I'm not schizophrenic.
No. Here's the part.
Yeah, how does this all tie in?
I asked the same question, and that's why I was amazed and delighted to see. After the trials, researchers then collected the rat's poop to test for stress hormones.
This doesn't sound like a bunch of like really smart college students on acid.
Yeah. This is a real
put
study.
Put them in cars and test their poop.
And they will check their poop.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
How's it taste?
I don't think anyone's eating it. But this is what I'm saying. This is why these people are so much smarter than we are, because in a billion years, we would never think, hey, we got some mental health issues in this country. Can we solve them without drugs? I know. Let's teach rats to drive and then test their poop. Like, we would never even think about that. So all of the rats had a higher level of a hormone, which scientists believe could be linked to the satisfaction of having learned a new skill. So, I mean, they haven't exactly, I mean, this hasn't solved the problem yet, but baby steps.
Is the drug available today?
Baby steps. No. We're not there yet.
Not there yet.
But they're just, they're looking at different experiments and different types of stimuli that they can do, and then to assess how it impacts the brain of the animals that are involved in it, and they hope that ultimately one day something useful will come out of it. But, I mean, this is, it's just a crazy experiment for somebody to even come up with, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I still have questions. One being, does that mean that their hypothesis at this point, very early, is teach someone something new and it could help them with their mental disorder?
I think that's where they're headed with this,
I don't think that's all that revolutionary.
Well,
I think that if you teach someone a new job or they get a new job, I mean, everyone's sort of melatonin or whatever you call it goes up.
So you're saying this experiment is a colossal waste of time because we already knew this?
Well, all the other scientists in the world went, yeah.
We taught rats how to drive. That seems like the cooler thing.
Yeah, let's not bury the lead here. These rats are driving, you guys.
That's the real scientific breakthrough.
And one of them was wearing a suit yesterday. One of these rats was crazy.
Yeah, that's weird.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
But I will say this. If anything in science were left up to us, it would be a disaster. So.
Oh, the world would end in 15 years.
Absolutely.
I think that's being kind. I would say maybe today even. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
How do you do, fellow kids?
We have tickets to Kevin and Bean's Last Breakfast with Green Day.
Yeah, we do.
And that's coming up in the 6 o'clock hour this morning. We also have Jensen's Get Up on This because it is Thursday.
It's October, so more scary movies.
We have RJ Bell because it's Thursday, given his picks for the NFL Week 8. Walton Goggins.
Yes.
One of our favorite actors is going to be in talking about the unicorn. And we've also got Dr. Drew as well. And don't forget, keep listening for Blink 182 when you hear that call, and you'll win tickets to the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball as well. We'll take a break. 6.7. K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
You are just minutes away from your chance to join us for our Kevin and Bean's Last Breakfast, this time with Green Day. It's going to be Monday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we want you to be there to help us interview the band. So stand by for your chance to win. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
What's happening?
You've been asking for it. It's finally happening.
Which, what?
When Bean...
rats are going to drive cars? Or...
No, they already are.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah. When Bean saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, he said, oh, if only it was a little longer.
I don't remember exactly how long that movie was, but I think it was roughly 6 hours?
Yeah, I believe it was. You're right?
I'm okay.
Okay.
I'm good.
Don't hurt yourself before you're able to see the extended cut, Bean.
Right.
There was always talk about Quentin Tarantino adding more scenes to his 9th movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, following its premiere again. Finally, it is here, a new cut, just in time for awards season. Sony is going to re-release it in about 1,500 theaters tomorrow. These are 4 never-before scenes that will be added, bookending the new print.
Okay.
So...
I don't feel like...
You're not desperate to see those 4 new scenes?
No.
Because they're not going to change the movie in any way?
Correct.
They're just added. Maybe it's another scene of just listening to the radio and driving.
Yeah. Jensen, this news must infuriate you.
Yeah, it's maddening. I'm very excited. This movie came out when basically the week I had my baby. Mm-hmm. And I would have seen it. I love Tarantino, even if it's long. But this is good because I can watch it in two sittings. And then it's just
one and a half hour meeting. You're fine with it, yeah. As long as you don't have to sit through it all at once.
It's great.
Yeah, okay. Makes sense.
That's fine. I can make my own decision. Sitting in the theater,
right.
Give me an intermission.
Yeah, you're stuck. It's like a hostage situation.
I want the intermission to be like a full day. Like 24 hours. Come sure. back tomorrow, see the other half.
That would be a weird system.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me, though.
They're just like, oh, we've got to stamp your hand then if you're going to come back tomorrow, sir. That is crazy. By the way, $139.8 million stateside, $368.3 million worldwide.
All right.
Which is second to Django Unchained.
Really?
Yes. Django Unchained made $162 million. So that's, what, $22 million more?
Ooh, and
then
math.
Yeah, and then worldwide, $425 million.
Just keep talking.
Which is a lot more than $368 million. Yeah. So
how much? Doing the math in your head.
How much? A lot. 25, then you add, like, 40, four, wow. 60, like, $65 million more-ish? Is that right?
No one is sourcing you, yeah, so we don't really care.
I was shocked that it's his second highest grossing movie ever. I assumed this was it.
Yeah, same.
I would have guessed Pulp Fiction. That would have been my guess for his
Django Unchained. I don't know. I don't think that I would have guessed that in the top five.
Hold on. Yeah, I would think Pulp Fiction too.
Well, no, inflation. I think they're talking about in theaters and ticket prices are so much different. I mean, the movies that are coming out now are always beating their old ones, even if they're really big.
Just because they get more per screening for each person.
That, and it's just more people going to the movies.
$107 million.
Yeah. Hmm. But if you go for inflation and ticket prices, it would probably be right up there.
Interesting. Hmm. Well, this has been Math Talk with Allie. I appreciate you guys joining us.
Do you want to go over inflation now?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's just like when prices get higher because of the cost of living and stuff. Like,
yeah, yes.
Stuff.
Much better.
Economics.
Thank you. Guys, CBS is doing all right. They have renewed all five of its first-year series, including dramas Evil and All Rise, and comedies Carol's Second Act, The Unicorn, which, hi, we're talking to Walton Goggins today.
It's a great show.
And Bob Hart Abishola? Yeah. Is that real?
What? I didn't add it to my fake or real TV once because I thought, because there's posters all over
there's
LA.
Posters,
for
yeah,
okay.
So I was like, okay, they might know that one. But it is ridiculous looking. I believe it's a Chuck. No, is it Chuck Lorre?
What's it called?
I know.
Bob, and then a heart emoji, hearts, and then yeah. Abishola?
Yeah.
Abishola?
That's never heard of it.
That's her name. It's just a guy and a woman, and they're just. That's all it says.
Interracial couple.
That's all it says.
It's funny, though.
But I literally have never heard of it until this second.
I hadn't either, Bean. But we did the real TV, fake TV, mm-hmm. and you did All Rise, and we were all like, nope, that's not real. Carol's Second Act, we were like, nope, no way, that's not real.
Yeah.
It is, and it has been renewed.
Right, that's what I meant.
It is Chuck Lorre, Bob Hart's Abishola.
Which means it's going to be a hit and be on for 10 years.
Yeah, for sure.
Let me tell you something about CBS. No network has a better track record of shows that get renewed. None.
Yeah.
I mean, almost every other network, like one in five shows makes it. CBS, it's like four in five. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Whatever their R&D is, they're doing an amazing job. They know their audience.
Bean, they don't own us anymore.
All of those shows suck. I mean, every one of them is a piece of trash.
I mean, you didn't even know one existed a minute ago.
But I'm saying that's how good they are.
It's true. Yeah. It is true. They have quite the run. So Ronan Farrow is going to launch a Catch and Kill podcast series. It's going to serve as an audio companion to his best-selling book, Catch and Kill, Lies, Spies, and a Conspiracy to Protect Predators. The podcast is going to debut next month and will mirror the book's depiction of his Harvey Weinstein takedown. Have you bought that book yet, Bean?
I have not. I'm looking at it right now, a stack of 11 books to my left that
same.
I have backed up ready to read.
Same.
Wow.
But I will read it.
Uh-huh.
You know what? I just like investigative journalism. I mean, I love books like that. You know what I mean? Whatever the topic is, it's just so neat to see people do a deep dive when everyone's trying to stop him from getting the information. I love stories like that.
You know what I am jealous of is that Bean will get through those 11 books in 11 days.
Yeah, he is a fast reader.
I do enjoy reading.
But, what's at the top of the pile?
The top of the pile is the new book that is out about the... it's an entire book about the song Wichita Lineman.
Okay. Honestly,
the Glenn Campbell song. Yes.
Honestly, I respect book? It. Here's the thing.
Not a pamphlet.
That's not
it's a book.
It's
not a book.
It is a book. Day we were talking about how one of my favorite bands, Elbow, covered Wichita Lineman on BBC Radio, and I said to Bean, I said something about the songwriter, how Glenn Campbell reached out to him and said, "Just give me another song with the city in the name," and then he like sent him a little bit of the song, and then Glenn Campbell finished it, and Bean goes, "Allie, isn't it fun to know things?" And he was like so proud that I had Wichita Lineman facts in my head. But the fact that he said, "Allie, isn't it fun to know things?"
He was truly excited too.
He was. Yeah. But I do wonder how they filled the whole book. But
it's one word per page.
By the way, there are I have several books about one song.
Wow.
There's an entire book about White Christmas. There's an entire book about He Stopped Loving Her Today, the great George Jones classic.
What? One of the best songs.
There are some songs that are that big and that interesting, the storyline.
You make terrible decisions.
I enjoy knowing things.
He really does. And then when he finds out other people know things.
Hey, you know something. Isn't it great?
I'm gonna just keep it a bean.
Absolutely. Some birthdays for you. Some birthdays for actors. Kevin Kline, B.D. Wong. Then you've got Wayne Rooney, soccer player. Jalen Ramsey from the Rams. And Drake. He's a rapper?
Mm-hmm.
Actor?
Mm-hmm. One of Jensen's favorites.
He's big time.
I'm not a religious guy, but I am praying to the Lord right now for some forgiveness for what we're about to do to our listeners. Because this is going to be awful. I'm just telling you right now. This is not going to be fun. It's not going to be pleasant. Mm-hmm. But somebody is going to make it through and win tickets to join us for Kevin Bean's Last Breakfast with Green Day. The game is called Greengrass.
So you want to win tickets to see Breakfast with Green Day?
Well, hold on to your britches. We're going to get ready to play.
Yeehaw!
It's Greengrass.
Yep, that's what we're going to do. We're going to play you a song. Your name, you're going to guess it. Yabba-dabba-doo. It's Greengrass.
So bluegrass is a type of music that I hate personally.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Because it's all banjos.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Not mandolins, too. Don't forget there's mandolins.
Sure, whatever.
There's that washboard, too.
I'm a huge bluegrass fan, by the way. It won't surprise you to know.
But
I don't
them
think these
doing Green Day songs?
Yeah, I don't think these Green Day songs are improved by bluegrass interpretations.
You could also play the spoon. Forgot about the spoons.
Spoon, didn't think of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Doesn't so swing it for me, though.
That's what we're going to be doing for you is we're going to be playing bluegrass versions of Green Day songs. All you have to do is identify it by title. If you're right, you go into the drawing, and somebody at the end of the segment will win tickets to join us for Kevin and Bean's Last Breakfast with Green Day. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. But again, we apologize for what you're about to hear. Who's up first?
Alexandria in Valencia. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
All right,
long-time listener.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. All right, we're going to play this bluegrass version of a Green Day song once, and then you just have to give us the title. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Television dreams of tomorrow. We're not the ones who are meant to follow. Well, that's enough to argue.
I think I heard the jug on that one.
I mean, it's not better than the original, if that's what you're asking. Alexandria, what Green Day song is that?
Oh gosh. You know what? Boulevard, I can't remember. I'm sorry.
No, you're so much me. I would never win this. But it's American Idiot.
I mean, the lyrics are the same, but it does kind of take you out of it when you hear the interpretation. All right, so 0-1, who's next?
Roy in Glendora. Good morning.
Morning.
All right, are you ready?
Yes. Let's do this.
I'm walking down the line that divides me somewhere in my mind. On the borderline.
You got it. Yes.
You can wait till the clip is done.
Screaming.
But yes.
He didn't want to hear the rest of the clip.
No. Actually, that's a good choice. That's a good choice. All right, Roy, you're in the drawing. Well done, sir.
All right, let's go to Taylor in Riverside. Good morning, Taylor.
Morning.
Are you ready for your song?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, go.
Pay attention to the cracked streets and broken homes. Some call it slum, some call it nice. I want to take you through the wasteland I like to call my home.
Nope. All right, go ahead.
Is it
Taylor?
Good riddance?
What?
Taylor?
Is it Good Riddance?
I mean,
Taylor.
No,
hang up on yourself, son.
Yeah,
I was Welcome to Paradise.
Hey, guys.
Which, by the way, were the next lyrics in that song.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I feel like we teed him up for that one.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I know we ask this question every time we play this game. Why did these versions of these songs exist?
Why did somebody make them? Because I do understand the like orchestral version of them, because some people put it on hold at their work.
Or baby songs. We know baby why they songs, play nursery.
Baby songs, right? Sure,
yeah.
Those.
Yeah.
But this one, I have no idea. I can't imagine how and where they would use it. Let's go to Sergio in Orange. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Hi there. We're playing.
It's Green Grass.
Green Grass. Are you ready?
Yep. Ready.
Here's your song.
I'm one of those melodramatic fools, neurotic to the bone, no doubt about it.
That's plenty of that one. What's the song?
That's Basket Case.
It is.
Yeah. I am one of those.
Yeah. Nicely done. You hold on.
All right. We're on a roll. We got two in the drawing so far. We're playing for Kevin Bean's Last Breakfast with Green Day. The game is called Green Grass.
It's Green Grass.
Let's go to Pat in Redondo Beach. Hi.
Hello.
Pat, this is awful, right?
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Good luck.
You may find out that your self-doubt means nothing was ever there. Can't go forcing something if it's just not right.
When I come around?
Yeah, correct.
All right.
Okay.
We're humming now. We're cooking with gas.
Are we humming or cooking with gas?
Both.
Neither.
Joel in Bellflower. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Hello.
All right, are you ready?
Yes.
Tattoos of memories and dead skin on trial.
That's the most similar to the original, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And the name of that song is?
I got this on the tip of my tongue.
Oh, great.
It's,
go ahead and share it with us.
Yeah, we need an answer. I'm sorry.
Nope.
Oh.
No.
Sorry.
Joel. No.
It's time of your life. Good morning.
Tattoos and memories.
All right, I think we got time for one more, then the drawing.
All right, let's go to Francisco in Fontana. Good morning.
Good morning. What's up, bitches?
Yeah.
And to you as well. Good luck. Let's get you in the drawing. Listen up, here's your green grass song.
My mouth is dry. My face is numb. I go to hell. Messed up and spun out
this,
in my
this rocks.
On my own, here we go.
Oh, you go straight to hell with that.
I think it was
bad.
All worth it.
That's
that
terrible.
Woof.
Francisco, what song? It has to sound familiar.
It does sound familiar. I'm trying to remember the name.
Need an answer.
I mean, I'm happy. I'm happy you didn't know. It's
it
so
was
bad.
Brain stew. That was, I apologize.
Those exist.
Yeah, we won't do that again for a while. Hey, Roy and Sergio and Pat, all in the drawing. Only one that will bring a friend to our Kevin and Bean's Last Breakfast with Green Day, which, by the way, you can hear 8 o'clock Monday morning right here on the world famous K-Rock. Who's our winner, please?
The winner is Pat.
Pat.
Yay!
Congratulations,
yay,
Pat.
Yay.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
We'll see you at the breakfast, and thanks for playing the game.
It's Green Grass.
Yep, I hope you had fun playing. I don't know what I'm saying.
It's Green Grass.
Television dreams of tomorrow.
Nope. No, we're done.
What?
No, we're done. We're done with that. We're done with that.
It's okay. Yeah, it's not.
Yeah,
I don't
save it for
again.
That's my jam.
Okay. What we are doing is playing songs by Blink 182 all this week on K Rock. And when we do, you do like Cindy Gully from Oak Park did and be caller 20. She just won 2 tickets to the K Rock Halloween Costume Ball with the band at the Fonda Theater on October the 26th. That's this Saturday night. So it could happen at any time. We could play another Blink 182 song next hour, you guys. So just keep listening to K Rock.
We're crazy that way.
To win your way in.
Unpredictable.
Madness.
Allie is here with What's Happening, and then since it's, we are actually, we're not doing that anymore, we're already gave away those tickets, that's fine.
Right.
Allie's
go,
got What's Happening, oh. And then Jensen's Get Up On This coming up right after the top of the hour, because it is Thursday.
I'm
hey, Allie.
There.
Allie just needed a couple of more seconds.
Guys, we've given away Green Day tickets. We just gave away Blink 182 tickets. I want to give something away too.
Something
I feel like
else?
Yeah, why not?
Too much. Okay. That's why we're going to spoil people. And then when we don't have as much, they're going to criticize.
I like to give away my What's Happening things in each hour. So everybody gets a little goodness. Okay. Today is the 6 a.m. day.
Okay.
So
what are we giving away?
Congrats to you. You, right now, listening, could get a pair of passes to the premiere of Terminator Dark Fate.
Yay!
It is going down October 28th at the TCL Chinese Theater.
I'm fascinated by this.
I am too. It's in theaters November 1st. But again, you are getting a pair of passes to the premiere of Terminator Dark Fate. That's huge, you guys.
Arnold Braunschweiger.
Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Linda Hamilton, Mackenzie Davis, Gabriel Luna, Natalia Reyes.
They say this is the best Terminator sequel in more than 20 years.
That is funny.
Getting rave reviews.
Really? Well, I can't wait to see it. And I wish I could go with you.
Good for you.
You five winners.
I mean, they do get a plus one.
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
So.
Maybe all five of you could ask me, and then we'll have like a contest.
No, it'll be like a 80s sitcom where you have to be in each date. You have to like, one second, I got to go get popcorn. And then you run to the other guy. I got to go to the bathroom.
Crazy. I love it. Let's take the first five callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. And you're going to get a pair of passes to the premiere of Terminator Dark Fate. October 28th at the TCL Chinese Theater. Good luck to you.
Like the call. Now.
I feel like Netflix has to always tell us ratings or never tell us. This picking and choosing is such BS.
It's almost like marketing.
But wouldn't you do it? Yeah, exactly. Right? Wouldn't you do it that way? You just pick the good ones. You go, hey, everybody, look at this.
Well, no, I think that I've noticed in the past, I think they do it for shows we don't think are performing well. And then they go, Fuller House, most watched ever. Like they almost announced those.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they announced yesterday that more than 25 million households watched El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie, in the week since the film debuted. Honestly, no one is talking about this movie.
No.
Maybe that's it. Maybe they're like, no one's talking about it. Tell them how many people watched it. And then that will make people want to watch it that aren't talking about it.
I mean, it does work that way.
It does.
If I hear 25 million people watch it, maybe it's worth watching.
There was a tremendous amount of anticipation for it leading up to it dropping, though. And a lot of, I mean, obviously Breaking Bad, one of the best shows of all time.
Yeah.
People were excited about it, but you're right. I've not heard a great deal about it since it came out.
Yeah. But I will watch it eventually. I'm excited to.
So this is just Netflix saying, suck on that.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
Right.
Remember when Netflix was like the heyday and everybody else is now getting into streaming? Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm so much lazier because I know I can get to it eventually.
I've always been that way.
Totally.
I just,
if it's all still there and then there's no rush, I go, I'll get to it. And then you miss stuff completely because you just think you can get to it at any point.
And then 2 years go by and I'm like, why would I go back and watch that? It's too much goodness, you guys,
is what
I'm saying. There's too much good stuff happening.
I wish people would make worse TV.
I do, too.
That would help us.
That would be great.
It would help.
So you know how McAfee, the cybersecurity firm, says every year, which celebrities are among the most dangerous to search online? Like,
is it Brenny?
It is not Brenny. you could get a malicious website and viruses if you click on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, last year, Kim Kardashian topped the list. She has slid down to number 26. Sorry about that, Kim. Top of the list, UK's Love Island host, Caroline Flack. All right. Mm-hmm. Coming in second, white hot Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm.
You think about this year, though, there's been a lot of talk about Maisie Williams because of the Game of Thrones finale.
James Corden.
Oh, interesting.
He's number three. Nicki Minaj is fourth. And in fifth place, Billie Eilish.
Wow.
Congrats, Billy. You'll be happy to know, Bean, that the rest of the top 10 includes Josh Gad.
Well, no one should ever be clicking on anything
that
has
Josh
Gad
so much, and it makes no sense that
the only time I want to see Josh Gad's name is in his obituary.
Okay, that is awful, and I don't appreciate it.
But at least Bean doesn't have a reason he hates him.
Zero reason.
Right. So
and we had him on, and his response after we had him on, he was a delight. That was wonderful. And then he goes right back to being a wackadoodle.
He's the worst person in the world.
He is. Yes.
I want him and Nick Kroll in a car going off the roof of the Grand Canyon.
Wow.
the roof of the Grand Canyon, even.
Wow.
It's not called a roof.
It has a roof?
Okay.
I know who we're booking first week he's gone.
Amen.
A little double team from Kroll and Gad.
I mean, I'd take it. Book him.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Some birthdays for you. From the Rams, Jalen Ramsey. Soccer player Wayne Rooney, whose wife. Remember that whole thing?
Yeah.
Instagram. That was good. Look it up if you don't know. Kevin Kline, BD Wong, and Toronto Raptors number one fan, Drake.
20,000 fans descended on Manhattan's South Street seaport to see breakout rapper Drake.
Oh, rapper.
Oh, my God.
It's rapper. It's rapper.
Man.
Oh, God. It's rapper.
Well, we don't know for sure is what I think she's saying.
I think we do. It's rapper. We do know that.
Oh, okay.
Good Lord.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
I don't know that we need this.
It started out like any other morning. The sky was red and it took a warning. She had the... Hold on, let me take that part again.
You're reading it.
She had the now and the beers are swarming.
What?
Bees, not beers.
She had the hive, now the beer.
Hit the hive.
She hit the hive and...
I didn't even hear what night this was.
It's night one. Oh, good God.
Should I start over?
Yes.
It's night one.
That was A Moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the fact that the band was listening when that happened.
Yeah, that makes it so much worse.
Oh, it's so good to me.
That's what I meant. So good.
So sad that Kevin is dying. We are going to miss him, man.
No, that's you.
Hey, Dr. Drupinski joins us with his weekly Thursday visit coming up on the program, and the great actor Walton Goggins, who's in two hit TV shows at the same time right now, is coming up next hour as well. First, though, Thursday at this time means Jensen's Get Up On This.
We're going to get you up on something spooky, for the month of October is meant to be scary. So Jensen's going to get you up on something new, and it's Halloween time. Let's all scream boo.
Get up on this.
It's time to get up on this.
Get up on this.
You don't want to miss.
Get up on this.
It's pure horror bliss.
Get up on this.
It's time to get up on this.
All right. It's October, which means only one thing for Get Up On This. We are doing weekly spooky sessions where I tell you about horror movies that are perfect for the season and I think deserve more attention than they get or at some point were forgotten.
Love this so far.
Yeah, I feel we've put together some pretty good picks.
Agreed.
They're chronicled all at krock.com. I encourage you guys to go there and watch along with those that I've been picking. This week, I'm thrilled to bring you three new titles that are ready to scare and thrill you. First up, now, I know that most of our past picks have not been very child-friendly, right?
Right.
They're all horror movies with blood and guts and gore and
pretty
screaming.
Much the deal, yeah.
Well, not all the listeners want that. I watched The Gate when I was 8 years old. That's not a good movie to watch as a kid. I feel like my parents
should
have
watched movies, too, that she shouldn't have when she was a kid.
Yeah, should have kept those away from me. But I have one that I think works for all the family.
All right.
It's called Monster House. Okay. It's an animated 2006 film co-written by the man behind Community and Rick and Morty, Dan Harmon. So we know that going to be comedy in it. Some familiar voices appear in the cartoon that features Steve Buscemi, Maggie Gyllenhaal, Kathleen Turner, Fred Willard, a show favorite. And it's produced by Steven Spielberg and Robert Zemeckis.
Whoa.
All right. Wow. So we should know more about this.
Quite a pedigree.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's right. Now, it uses that weird human capture 3D effect that was embarrassingly first used in Polar Express, where Tom Hanks looks like he's made of soap.
Yep.
Well, this is much better, and it's less annoying. It's like they almost perfected it a little better. It's about a 12-year-old named DJ Walters who's left home alone in the care of a babysitter. DJ lives next to a very scary-looking house owned by an old crotchety man named Nebercracker. When DJ's friend Chowder loses his kite on Nebercracker's yard, all things I've always wanted to say on K-Rock.
I am uncomfortable with the term Nebercracker.
Is that your high school nickname?
Yeah, unfortunately.
They have to face their fears and get the kite back. Here's a clip of that decision that the boys have to make with the terrifying property.
Chowder, your ball just landed on Nebercracker's lawn. It doesn't exist anymore. I paid $28 for that ball. I raked 10 yards and asked my mom for $1 26 times. I never worked that hard in my life.
Nebercracker hasn't come out yet.
So maybe he's sleeping. All right, I'll do it. I'll never forget this. Hurry, though.
It's so cute, so fun, and at times kind of scary. Without spoilers, the boys have to face what they believe is a haunted house at that point. It's beautiful.
And it's good for kids.
It's great for kids.
Oh, fantastic.
It wasn't a super smash, and it has not withstood the test of time. You guys haven't even heard of it. But when it comes to Halloween movies, I'm strongly suggesting this, especially if you have kids. But the best part about this movie, and I feel like you see what's coming here.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's an hour and how long?
It's an hour and 31 minutes.
Oh, you're in heaven.
So,
you're in
you.
Heaven.
Thank you for noticing. Second up, now a name that has come up already this month is Mike Flanagan. Okay?
Can't wait.
We talked about his genius Netflix movie Hush and his upcoming movie Dr. Sleep. But I also want to get you up on the first time he ever adapted something from Stephen King from one of his lesser-known 1992 novels called Gerald's Game.
Oh, wow.
This is a Netflix exclusive that was released back in 2017. It is a psychological horror movie starring Carla Gugino. Is that, I think I said
Gugino?
It?
Gugino.
Yeah. All right, Gugino. Mm-hmm. And Bruce Greenwood, who are both very good in it.
All right.
It tells the story of a longtime married couple named Jesse and Gerald who decide to go to an isolated lake house to get away. And deal with a little bit of their own inner struggles and marital woes.
Never go to a lake house.
A lake house
ever.
In the woods.
Right?
Well, it gets
always.
Even worse. Gerald decides to involve handcuffs in their lovemaking.
Excellent.
And take a Viagra to spark things up in the bedroom. Mm. Well, things get weird and Gerald ends up dead from a heart attack, leaving Jesse still handcuffed, alone.
Oh.
No one can hear her. She's in the woods. An open door welcomes a wild dog. A nearby water glass is just out of reach, and her hallucinations are bringing her husband back to life. Is it real? Is it not? Who knows? He's talking to her. The movie is wildly insane, and you start to feel the effects of dehydration and fatigue almost with the main character. There's one scene where they do not cut away, and I wish they did. I'm not going to spoil much more than you.
Really?
That. I almost am like, they're going to cut away, right? Nope, nope. Full time, one camera, steady on something. Netflix did a very cute thing with their marketing and showed the scene to Netflix employees without telling them anything and then aired that on their digital channel. This is the response employees had that I'm going to play now to the thing they should have cut away from.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, God.
This is so gross. Are you...
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
Wow. I love it. They last guy. Wow. Last guy's like, wow.
Such a good idea. I thought
keep
that was,
an eye on that guy.
I thought that was so cute. This is a hidden gem perfect for October to stumble upon. You can see what Stephen King loved about Flanagan, which got him then Dr. Sleep. You guys know what the best part would be?
An hour and 24 minutes.
An hour and 43 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Right.
Well, that's pushing it for you.
Yeah. Well, 145 is
okay.
The push.
I'm not going to say that Flanagan was meant to make all these horror movies, mm-hmm. but he's from Salem, Massachusetts.
He is, I know.
Oh. So weird.
I know, he has a real connection.
Oh, can't wait.
Lastly, the third movie this week is The Innkeepers.
Never heard of it.
All right, it's directed by genre darling Ty West, who directed The Sacrament and House of the Devil, two movies that are like, you know, if you're a horror person, these are like almost VHS tapes at this point, the way they're cult. The movie stars Sarah Paxton, Pat Healy, and of all people, Kelly McGillis.
Really?
Oh, Top Gun?
Yes, who's so good in this. It follows two employees at the Yankee Peddler Inn, which is about to close its doors forever. It's sort of one of those scary-looking bed and breakfasts. But before it closes, the two employees decide to document the paranormal activity that they've been seeing in the hotel for years while they've been working there. And they're kind of like ghost adventurers on their own, mm-hmm. so this is the weekend to do it. The hotel is supposedly haunted by numerous different ghosts, including Madeline O'Malley. Let's hear all about Madeline in this clip.
Do you know the story of Madeline O'Malley? She was the woman that died here in the hotel. She hung herself after her fiancé stood her up on their wedding day. And ever since then, people have reported seeing the ghost of Madeline O'Malley roaming the hallways waiting for her lover. Some say she's even looking to take up a new one.
Sorry.
That's
not from the clip.
A little premature.
Her body was supposedly hidden in the basement by the hotel owners, and now the two co-workers want it all documented. And it's great. Kelly McGillis plays a former actress, and she shows up at the hotel. She says she has a convention in town, and they all end up getting more than they bargained for. And Kelly McGillis is great. She should be acting way more. It's super scary, rooted in that low-budget horror movies that we love. Also, don't hold this against it. Very small Lena Dunham cameo. comes out of nowhere.
As long as it's very small.
Yeah.
Does she die, though? Because that might be an incentive for people.
No, not good enough. No. But you guys know the best part about this movie. And I've told you a lot about it. But
it's an hour and...
An hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Perfect. Right in my wheelhouse. Let's regroup. The three movies this week are Monster House, which is fun for the whole family, right? Gerald's Game, not fun for the whole family. And The Innkeepers. All different feelings for sure, but all super entertaining. Perfect additions for your October rotation. Next week will be the final three movies for Halloween.
All right.
And we'll get excited. Until then, go to krock.com for all my picks. And that was Get Up On This.
Get Up On This.
Okay.
that was Get a Ball.
Just after 8, we're going to talk to Dr. Drew, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk to him about how do you know whether to take antibiotics or not when you're starting to get sick.
If you go by what Allie says, never take them. Just live life.
No kidding.
No, Jesus. I'm saying you people are taking antibiotics for colds and flus. You take an antibiotic when it's bacterial, not a virus. You are screwing yourselves, and you're screwing the biosphere. Good night.
By the way, that's what Dr. Drew will back as well, I think, because we've talked to him about this before.
As well he should.
So
all I know is I took antibiotics and I'm feeling better. That's all I know.
Right. And he'll say, you would have felt better anyway, is my guess.
And your doctor did that because it's in your head that you will feel better if you take an antibiotic for what is basically a common cold.
Well, then is it my problem? These are all Dr.
Drew
things. Or the doctor problem.
You don't need to be so condescending, though, Allie.
Yeah. Oh, I'm telling you. You're ruining the biosphere.
This woman wants to ruin our lives.
Allie is a medical doctor, too. Let's never forget that.
Thank you.
You guys, I got a great email from a listener a couple of days ago. And God bless our listeners who email us on and contact us through all the Kevin and social media on Instagram and on Twitter and everything with so many great suggestions for the show. And here's how I look at this. They can see the show is struggling. They can see that we need help. And they're throwing us a life raft.
Yeah, they're kind.
They're like, guys.
Continuously.
The show has, there must be a way to make the show better. May I make this suggestion? And God bless Danilo for this because I think this is a fantastic idea. Hey, Bean, first off, I want to say longtime listener. I'm sad to hear you leaving the show. I wish you all the best of luck in the UK. That's very kind.
Rest in peace.
I was listening to the podcast of the October 18th show during the Lister call-in segment about things you thought being an adult would be. Jensen mentioned something about a Toys R Us shopping spree. Mm-hmm. What was that, Jensen? What was the reference to Toys R Us?
Yeah, my local Toys R Us in Woodland Hills, every once in a while, would run commercials, local commercials, that you were competing for a shopping spree, and they would show kids pushing the cart, just pulling toys,
going
supermarket
nuts.
Sweep style,
yeah.
Just Whoa. Throwing things into their cart. I was like, that's the dream win. That's
so you think as a kid, like, that's what I want as an adult.
That's all I wanted.
Yeah.
That was what I mentioned. But I never know. I didn't know anyone who won.
Going into a Toys R Us and getting any toy you wanted, that's amazing.
Even more than that, you just get to roll through the aisles, just knocking them in.
Mm-hmm. Danilo continues. This got me thinking about an interesting call-in topic. I'm really curious to know if any listeners out there have actually won some sort of nationwide or big contest. I'm always curious if people actually win those things because I've entered so many and I never hear anything about the winners. And then he brings up a couple of great examples. The McDonald's Monopoly contest, for instance.
Learned that was not good.
It was not as on the up and up as we hoped, but did anybody ever win that?
Well, the people who rigged it, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
How about
We love McDonald's and everything they do.
Yes.
They're the best.
It's a great story.
Okay.
And they fixed it.
Or entering a code on your soda bottle to win tickets to the Super Bowl. Like, you always see
that's
thing.
True.
It's a promotion for the Super Bowl, but then you don't, and Visa does one, but you rarely see follow-up on the winners. Now, I assume they can't advertise those things. There are very strict rules on contests, especially those that are advertised on television or radio because of the FCC restrictions. So I assume those contests are all on the up and up, but you don't see follow-up.
By the way, even with stuff we give away, occasionally we'll do those flyaway contests where we give away a trip for two to wherever to see a show. Most of the time, we don't hear back from them, and I assume that's just because they didn't get back home ever.
Right. They're lost forever.
It's a one-way ticket. We don't tell you that. But
how about winning a car from opening a bag of Doritos, Danilo continues. Mm-hmm. Another contest. I'm really interested to know if people actually win these type of contests. I know that K-Rock sticker contest is legit because I always hear it on the air going to the winner's house. You know, when we send beer mug out to give the car away, we make sure that that's broadcast. Other than that, who knows? Hopefully, this is a good enough topic to make it on the show. Otherwise, sorry for your wasting your time. Best of luck in the future, Bean. No, not a waste of time at all. In fact, it's an amazing idea. And we want to take your calls right now to find out what you have won. What contests have you won? Now, we're not talking about calling up K-Rock and winning tickets to Breakfast with Green Day. Okay, we know stuff like that happens all the time. But if you've ever entered in a competition and won a prize, we want to know what it was. The bigger, the better, right?
Or the smaller, the better. Because you have the same odds of winning as everyone else, and it's a long shot for you to win, and you won, and then it's a lousy prize.
Yeah.
Either way.
1-800-520-1067. I bet we have somebody listening who has won a trip to the Super Bowl, for instance, or something equivalent to that. Now, I did one of those things back in the 80s when there were business cards, when that was a thing, where you drop your business card into the bowl at the counter.
For like
and
a free dinner.
Threesome.
And ladies and gentlemen.
No, not a threesome. That's a key party.
You're thinking about a key party, right? I would like to say, and I bragged about this for years, Kevin can back me up. This was, I would introduce myself sometimes as saying, hey, my name is Bean, and I am a Popeye's Fried Chicken lunch free winner. And I don't mind telling you.
He said that 100 times.
Just one free lunch you won?
Just a free lunch, yes. But it was a thrill. I mean, to actually be, look, I'm not a guy who's done a lot of winning in his life. Mm. It was a thrill to be a winner.
Sure. Sure.
It was the only time in your life.
Oh, I won the crap out of that free Popeye's lunch, you guys. How about you guys? You ever win anything?
I, in Little League, growing up, my entire Little League had their name in a like a bucket. And they were giving away 2 free weeks at Joe Torre Baseball Camp.
Oh, wow. Which was like, oh my gosh.
Which was like a legacy in the Valley.
How
like,
old?
I was like 11.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. Oh, when you're 11, that's huge.
Oh, it's the dream. And so I was like, there's no... In my head, I'm like, I would love to go to Joe Torre Baseball Camp. That would be awesome. And I go, there's no way. And they pull it out, and the guy says, Jensen Karp.
Huge.
And I went up there and was like, it's me. I won this thing. And they're like, yeah, 2 weeks. And I went and played. And the
Who was there?
Well, they had... at that week, Steve Sachs came by... Lee Lacy came by, a Dodger great, and then they ended up having some 1986 Mets there, which was super strange. But like,
oh, you get hammered with Lenny Dykstra.
I wish. Yeah. It was Jesse Orosco and Ron Darling came.
Ooh,
wow. and Ray Knight.
These are big names.
That's an 11-year-old.
Yeah, wow. they taught us how to like hit and taught us everything.
Was
and,
Joe Torre there?
Yeah, Joe Torre was our coach. He was like our teacher.
Unbelievable.
And
that's
sure
a very cool prize.
I'm sure kids paid like thousands of dollars to do it. I just got picked out of a hat
fantastic.
Got no better at baseball because I am internally Jewish.
Okay.
Yeah.
1-800-520-1067. Before we go to your calls, King of Mexico, you won a huge prize.
Yeah, I won a trip to the Caribbean on a cruise from the mall. I was an employee at the Montebello Mall, and they had a contest for all the employees where you enter in and you could win a cruise. So I won.
And was it fun? I mean, what happened?
Well, I didn't go because I couldn't afford the plane ticket to Florida. But
oh,
I won.
No.
Oh, because they were like,
you win the cruise.
It leaves from there.
You win the cruise, but not the flight.
Not the flight. You got to get there on your own.
So what did you do? It just sat unused?
I just said, cool, and I just left. And I never took it.
Didn't you tell anyone else, like, hey, if anybody wants it, I can't get
there. Non-transferable and stuff like that. So
You must have been so sad, though, to not be able to take the cruise because of the airfare, though.
In actuality, I was happy because cruises suck.
Amen, Dave.
Oh,
yeah. Amen.
Depends on the cruise.
Depends on the cruise. All right, let's take a, let me see here. Let's take a call from Michelle. How about that? She's in Riverside. I think this is the exact example that we specifically said we don't want, so let's take her first.
Hey, Michelle.
Hi, how are you guys?
We are good, thank you.
What'd you win?
I won Premier at the Station. I won the one of the five days of summer giveaways to Austin, Austin, Texas.
Oh, so we sent you to Austin?
Yes.
Okay, well, I guess that's a little different because we never hear back from people.
Right.
Are you still there, Michelle, or did you make it back?
No, I'm still there.
Sorry about that.
Well, you know, we are giving away a flight from Austin to LA soon, so keep tuned in for that. Yeah.
Just hang on.
You guys only gave me a one-way ticket.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
That's how it goes.
Look, we're pretty cheap.
Wouldn't that be awesome if all of our flyways were one-way only?
Yes,
and they just kept calling us every day, like, guys, I really need to get home.
They have to stream the show.
All right. Again, except for stuff you won from K-Rock. Okay,
I think if it's a big prize like
right,
that.
But we know that we give those away. We're talking about stuff that you never hear about people winning. You really want to take I want a trip from K-Rock?
Yeah, if it's a big trip. Not just a pair of tickets, but if it's a trip to a festival,
sure. All right. 1-800-520-1067. I've lost interest. We're going to take some calls next on K-Rock.
Town Garden is next. First, let's take a call. Johnny from Long Beach won something, and he wants to tell us about it. Good morning, Johnny.
Good morning, Kevin. How's it going, everybody? How you doing?
Great. We're understanding that lots of big prizes are given away. You rarely get to hear from the people who win them. Are they legit? What was yours?
Mine was an AmeriQuest was the sponsor. They would pay your mortgage for a year.
Wow.
If you won. And they were giving a Dodger tumbler at Dodger Stadium. All I wanted was a tumbler. Mm-hmm. Didn't think I would win. I signed up for it. Got a phone call one day. The winner, and I was paying rent, so I didn't have a mortgage.
Johnny,
that's the worst. So they would have paid your mortgage for an entire year, and all you got was a cup.
Johnny's like, then they took back the tumbler.
Johnny, that is so sad.
I would have bought a house just to get him to pay for it.
Oh, man, that's unreal.
You know, you'd think that they would, I don't know, who knows, maybe they did, that they would make a backup drawing to pay someone's mortgage if the first person they picked was a renter.
Now they win, man. They don't have to pay out anything. They just gave a cup to a dude.
They just look like good guys.
Yeah.
All right. Well, next time, buy a house, Johnny. That's my advice.
Mm-hmm. That's a takeaway.
I don't know how that helps you now, but okay. Thank you very much for that. 1-800-520-1067. Here's a guy, by the way, whose friend won tickets to Super Bowl 50 via making a donation to the Jimmy V Fund. How about that?
Pretty cool. And a
good
charity.
That's legit. Mm-hmm. Your call's coming up.
To Drew in a half hour.
Kevin Amin, Lister Danilo wrote in and said, hey, what about all the people who you think are going to hear about who win these big prizes, but you never hear about them? Do they really give that stuff away? And I'm here to tell you, our listeners are lucky some bitches. Listen to this. From the 626, I won a contest in 2016, an all-expense-paid trip to Mexico City to see my Raiders play on Monday Night Football against the Texans from Bud Light.
Wow.
My husband from the 310, my husband won a run-through of the Team LA store at Staples Center to collect all the stuff he could within 1 minute.
Wow.
That's a great prize.
Wow, you could get a lot.
Robert writes in on Twitter. Kevin, you'll love him. His Twitter name is HockeyFan9.
All right.
I won the LA Times NHL All-Star Game Package from the LA Times, including watching the celebrity game, Fan Fest, tickets to the All-Star Game, and I got to watch the team's practice. It was awesome. So
that's
for a
fantastic.
Hockey fan, that is amazing. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Brad, please. Line 2, he's in Moore Park. He joins us up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Morning, Brad.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
What'd you win?
I won an all-expense-paid trip to the British Virgin Islands.
Whoa.
Whoa, nice. I love virgins.
It's no, Virgin good. Islands.
I sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
Very different.
Who'd you win this from?
I won it from Jose Cuervo.
I mean, this story keeps getting better.
I mean, drinking it, or how did they give it away?
Well, it was a different type of competition. They had an AVP volleyball event down in Manhattan Beach. They put together a little obstacle course on the sand.
All right.
And the winner won a chance to win a all-expense-paid trip to British Virgin Islands.
So
I won that and won a trip to a weekend trip to Santa Monica, which, I mean, I already live here.
This is the longest, most involved story.
You deserve this trip.
Did you end up in the British Virgin Islands?
And then during that little getaway to Santa Monica.
All right,
you
want to... Yeah, thank you, man.
Fast forward to... Okay, he got to go.
All right. We figured
line
it out.
Line 3 is Leslie in Glendora up next here on K-Rock. This is another good one, you guys. People do win stuff.
Hey, Leslie.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Great. Don't be like Brad. What happened?
when I was married to my ex-husband, we got one of those mailers in the mail that says, bring this into a car dealership and see if you want a car, and we actually won the car.
All right.
You won a car? What kind of car was it?
It was a Ford Focus.
Who cares? It's a free car.
Yeah, it was a free car. Exactly.
That's a great deal. And did you end up taking the car, or could you not afford to pay the taxes on it, so you had to decline?
We actually were in the market to buy a car anyway, and so we took the car and then wound up trading that car to get the car that we wanted.
Whoa.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
All right.
That's awesome. That's great timing. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Leslie, Anna's up next, line 4. She's in Hawthorne. It's another big one, you guys.
Hey, Anna.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning. What did you win?
So I have two. When the PS4 first came out, Taco Bell had a promotion to win a limited edition gold PS4.
Yes, I know this contest.
My son won that.
What? How did you win? I knew that contest and I wanted one.
He said, I'm going to go every day until I win. And he won the second day. And he was freaking out. He went online to verify the code like 50 times.
It's crazy.
That's amazing.
He also could have won diabetes if he went through with it every single day.
Right.
And you said you won something else too.
My ex's, Yeah, my ex's dad actually worked at McDonald's when they first came to the States in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And he won $25,000 on the Monopoly and used it to buy their first house.
From he won while he worked there?
That seems
like you just outed a fraud.
No, everything McDonald's does is great.
By the way, what do you mean when McDonald's came in the 80s? Haven't they been around since the 50s?
No. When the family
contest
came from Mexico
and they. Oh, gotcha. Okay, when they came. Okay, gotcha. Very good.
They came to America because they figured out a way to rig the McDonald's contest.
No kidding. All right, listen to this. Thank you very much for the call. This is a crazy one. This is a West Hills longtime listener. Last November, I donated $70 to red.org. Allie, you do these stories from time to time about that AIDS charity where you can win incredible prizes with donations, right?
Yeah, Omaze, right?
Right. I got a T-shirt and entered into a grand prize drawing for the celebrity experience of my choice. I won a song written about me by Lady Gaga and Bono.
Wow.
A song written about me
by
Lady Gaga and Bono. It was the first time I've ever won anything. It's now been almost a year, and over 100 emails later, I've heard every single excuse and given new estimated dates on when this will get done. I now believe it will never happen.
Oh.
Okay. That didn't have the ending I was hoping it would.
Let's make it very clear, that is not Omaze. That's a very different charity.
This is red.org.
Yes. Oddly enough, they sent it to us.
So we have it?
Oh, you have the song.
You have the song written by Lady Gaga and Bono?
Yes.
Incredible.
Lady Gaga! Ra, 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 ra,
doesn't seem like it's about her at all.
Not much effort there.
This day in history with Old Man Ruben.
I heard you guys went to a basketball game this week.
Yeah.
I couldn't go anyway, so... Was it fun?
Yeah, man, we had a good time.
I was home. I've been actually working on some puzzles.
That sounds cool, Ruben.
It is. Thank you. Did you guys eat nachos?
No nachos.
I love nachos, but they're hard to eat with my dentures. I wouldn't have been able to find parking anyway. I need a handicap space because of my arthritis.
No, we had parking passes.
You did? Who else was there?
Me, Kevin, Christine, Dave, some listeners.
Did anyone ask about me?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm gonna go now.
Dude, you can't. We haven't even done the day in history yet.
Fine. Today, Manchurian Candidate came out. Whatever. Good movie. Let's go, Mom.
Okay. See? Because Ruben is old!
That's a hell of a callback.
Okay. It's not that he's old anymore, though. It's that he's a weirdo. What's happening?
He's a psychopath.
It's not a Today in History segment anymore.
We're trying to wrangle him in. It's not... And he's bringing his mom again.
Wow.
It's a universe that he's building, and I'm not sure I want to be part of it.
I think we lost control of Ruben.
No, we never had control of Ruben.
The 8 o'clock hour is star-studded, you guys. No exaggeration. RJ Bell from Las Vegas going to be talking all about NFL week, I don't know.
Eight,
maybe? Mm-hmm. Dr. Chapinski joins us after the top of the hour, and the terrific actor Walter Goggins Walton Goggins from Righteous Gemstones and The Unicorn and so much more. Sons of Anarchy. I mean, the guy's just great in everything. All of that happening between 8 and 9. First, Allie, what's happening here on this Thursday?
He's Uncle Baby Billy.
He is indeed, yes.
And The Unicorn is a delight.
It is a good show.
What a lovely show that is.
It's a really good show and a lot because of Walton.
Yes,
Walton's
amazing.
He's fantastic.
The whole cast is so funny.
Yep.
And then there are moments that I'm like, why am I tearing up right now? Someone tell the joke.
It's just a you thing.
And by the way, Justified. Let's not forget how, I mean, that was the breakout role,
yes.
Right?
Justified. The Shield.
The Shield.
Yes, The Shield.
That's the first one I saw.
Walton,
I
if you're on your way
Vice
here.
Vice Principals.
Head on home. You are too good for this show.
The Hateful Eight, you guys.
You guys. Yeah. He is.
This dude is everything.
He shouldn't be here.
He is my favorite song right now on Spotify. So. We're gonna talk
is that your
about
jam, Allie?
Oh, it is my jam.
Okay.
Misbehaving,
all that coming up on
K-Rock. What is happening with this Lizzo and plagiarism and
I don't. It seems very complicated. Like, once something is successful, everybody claims that they're responsible for it.
But this one has some legs.
Yeah. She has been accused of plagiarism in the past. But what happened was these two guys, songwriter and producer brothers Justin and Jeremiah Raisin, claimed that Lizzo was present for a writing session when they wrote a record called Healthy in 2017. And a line from that song goes, "I just took a DNA test. Turns out I'm 100% that bitch," which, of course, we all know from Truth Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
They said they tried to sort it out quietly for the past 2 years, only asking 5%. They were shut down every time. All that. Well, Lizzo has come out and said, "Oh, no, I definitely saw that in a meme. And it was, I did a DNA test and found out I'm 100% that bitch. But that meme belonged to a woman on Twitter with the name of Mina Lioness, who's mm-hmm. a singer out of Great Britain, who once these two guys came after Lizzo, she's like, yeah, no, this is not going to happen. So she said, "The men who now claim a piece of Truth Hurts did not help me write any part of the song. They had nothing to do with the line or how I chose to sing it. There was no one in the room when I wrote Truth Hurts except me, Ricky Reed, and my tears. That song is my life, and its words are my truth." She then added, "The creator of the tweet is the person I'm sharing my success with, not these men, period." So this woman has now been given a writing credit. However, she's been trying to get that writing credit for 2 years.
Oh, so that doesn't, that's not a good look.
Had it not been for these two guys saying, "Okay, now we're going to come out of the woodwork and say we deserve a writing credit," nobody would have listened to this woman in the first place.
Uncool.
Very uncool, you guys. I don't like it at all. Truth Hurts. And that was a shady move, Lizzo. Shady, shady, shady.
And it's hard for us to not love everything about Lizzo.
Yeah.
You know?
Her goodwill is very strong.
Yeah. So that's an issue. And she, this woman, Mina Lioness, had tweeted, "Listen, nobody is believing me because I have, nobody wants to care about some random chick in the UK. But that's where she got it." And she was tweeting about this for 2 years. But yesterday she did come out and say, "I'm 100% that bitch that now has a writing credit." And she thanked Lizzo and seems to have put everything behind them. But I don't think this is the last we've heard on this
lies,
story.
Lies, and more lies, and lies on top of lies.
Speaking of lies, what's up, Aunt Becky? Lori Loughlin and her husband, Massimo, I told you yesterday that they were now getting more charges of bribery. Well, the federal indictment charging them with bribery shows two new alleged quotes from Massimo that may seem to incriminate them further. So you'll remember that they have been accused of shelling out $500,000 to get their daughters into USC as crew recruits, though they never participated in the sport.
Becky with the good hair.
According to CNN, the mastermind of the scam, William Ricksinger, contacted them saying he needed one of the daughters' transcripts, test scores, and very soon I'm going to create a coxswain portfolio for her.
Huh?
That's the person in the front of the crew thing that like yells out stuff.
I bet you he does.
Well, it's a woman in this.
Oh, you have to get him young.
So, anyway.
Kevin, Jesus.
He wrote in this email, "It would probably help to get a picture of her on an ERG in workout clothes like a real athlete." That's referring to an indoor rowing machine. So, Massimo wrote back, "Fantastic. We'll get all of that." Then, when she's at USC, he emailed his accountant an invoice for $200,000 and wrote, "Good news. My daughter is in USC. Bad news, I had to work the system."
Whoa.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the smoking gun.
Oh, my God. What?
And again, they pled not guilty.
And were given multiple chances to then say, "You know what, just take the plea. Take the plea now. Take the plea." And they said, "No, we're good. Remember, we didn't know anything about this."
They could already be out of jail by now.
Yeah. By the way, with new charges, they face up to 50 years in prison.
Wow.
Yeah. They just keep screwing themselves because they think they're above the law.
Everyone should quit being a faker.
Agreed.
There is no excuse for that.
Agreed.
Remember yesterday when I talked about Felicity Huffman's jumpsuit and how that'll be the next big thing?
Right.
Not if Martha Stewart has anything to say about it. She herself served 5 months in prison for obstructing justice in 2004. And she said this at a Vanity Fair summit in L.A. The magazine shared this tweet. It went viral. She wrote, she should style her outfit a little bit more. She looks pretty schlumpy. Oh, my God. Martha Stewart is a petty bitch.
Is she being funny?
Probably, but it's very funny.
She's very funny.
I enjoyed that. All I'm saying is throw the book at Aunt Becky and her husband.
Who's
with me.
Who's with me?
Totally.
All right, guys. Some birthdays for you. Actors Kevin Kline, B.D. Wong, Wayne Rooney, the soccer player, the L.A. Rams, Jalen Ramsey, and Toronto Raptors.
Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here.
I may have hit the button a little earlier. I'm sorry. Like,
who was that?
In the middle of me explaining who the person was?
I missed it. Whose birthday?
I didn't say.
Oh,
I was saying Toronto Raptors. It's someone from the Raptors, right?
I was expecting the word Drake instead of Toronto Raptors.
Can you try it again?
That was completely on me.
Can you try it again?
It's Drake.
Ugh. Wow.
Is that Drake?
Yeah, it's Drake.
It's creepy. That was his response to Bean hitting it when I said Toronto Raptor.
Don't forget, anytime we play any song by Blink-182, all you have to do is pick up the phone and be caller 20 and win your way into the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball, which is this Saturday night at the Fonda. We could be playing it at any moment. All I was trying to do was feel better, Allie. Mm-hmm. And you're poo-pooing me for doing everything I can to get better.
Except go to a doctor.
Okay, I didn't do that. That is the one thing I didn't do.
No, what you did was you thought to yourself, God, I feel sick. So you had somebody get you a Z-Pak, and you just started taking it. When you have a common cold, you might even have a flu. But either way, that antibiotic is going to do nothing. But you know what it might do? Screw you in the future, and you're not going to have any... You're going to be resistant to all these antibiotics, and people around you are going to get sick.
I would feel better if we had a doctor backing up this information.
Right.
Is there a doctor in the house? Is there any doctor here within the sound of my voice?
Here we are.
Hey, Dr. Drupinski, how are you, sir?
What a surprise.
I'm great. God, you know, guys, somebody slid into my DMs last night and started complaining about her coworkers taking antibiotics.
Drew, honestly.
Allie's been on a rampage against me.
She was so mad at me, Dr. Drew. She was so mad. All I was trying to do was feel better. Look, here's the thing. I have not been...
No, here's the thing. You're bringing down the biosphere.
Thank you. She even used the term biosphere
she
earlier.
She said that.
I thought she was making a joke.
I thought that was a Pauly Shore movie. Oh, that was Maya Dome. I'm sorry. I'm confused. Okay.
Go ahead.
Here's the thing, Dr. Drew. I never get sick. Okay?
Now's the wrong time to say
that. No, but what I'm saying, it has been literally decades since I was sick. But I was laid out this week with some sort of flu / cold / pneumonia / I don't know what, with all the symptoms, with the chills, with the aches, with the headaches, with the sore throat, with all of that. So my wife, God bless her, she calls our local physician and she says, hey, will you call in a Z-Pak for my husband? Which she did, and I started taking, and I just feel like that was a smart thing to do. Am I wrong?
Yes.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Rest my case.
First of all, have you had your flu shot this year?
I've never had a flu shot in my entire life.
Okay, well, you just had the flu. Did you like it? How was it?
It was awful.
Okay, let's get the flu shots from now on, okay?
All right, I'm listening.
And viruses. You know what a virus is? Do you guys understand?
By the way, not really.
Kevin and Jensen were not clear on bacterial versus virus.
Yeah, so bacteria
explain.
Are so small microbiological organisms like E. coli, staph, strep. Those are the common ones. They are a million miles away from something called a virus, which are tiny packets of DNA surrounded by an envelope of protein. Viruses probably came to us from some asteroid or something and started cohabiting with us by infecting us and causing illness. What happens is the viruses get into our cells. They commandeer our cells to produce themselves, but they make our cells sick as the virus spreads throughout our body and is produced in increasingly high concentrations. Antibiotics do nothing to a virus, underline nothing. But whatever bacteria happen to be, say, in your nose or your gut or on your skin, they get exposed to that Z-Pak that you took, and they say, wow, they're trying to kill us. We need to develop resistance, which they do very readily. So the next time if you should ever get, let's say, a staph skin infection or a strep skin infection, that strep now will be armed against the Zithromax, potentially armed against it,
okay,
and will be resistant and be no good. And we are using so many different and so many frequent types of antibiotics that we're making all the bacteria in the biosphere resistant to all of our antibiotics. There will be a day soon where if you get a skin infection or a pneumonia, you're S out of luck. You could just die the way we did at the turn of the century before we developed antibiotics.
Wow,
that was only 19 years ago, by the way.
No.
Century. Okay.
The antibiotics only been around since the 40s, right? And so most people died of microbiological infectious diseases, bacterial infections.
Okay, dumb question, Dr. Drew. Yeah. Do viruses and bacteria, are they both responsible for things that feel like flu or pneumonia or colds?
Sometimes. That's why you're going to see a doctor, to distinguish between those things. And not only that, allergies can seem like a cold, too. And it's very difficult to distinguish allergy from cold. But what you have with the fever, chills, aching, sore throat, that is a viremia. That's virus breaking out into your system. And that's usually a flu.
Okay, how do you know the difference?
I said to Bean, Dr. Drew, okay, if your throat is really... Look with the flashlight in your throat. Do you see any white pustules, anything like that? If you do, please go to a doctor. You might have strep. And then guess what? You'll get a Z-Pak, you'll get penicillin, whatever, and that will start combating it.
And the other thing about bacterial infections, when you pick the right antibiotic against the bacteria, it typically gets better fast.
Yes.
Very quickly. And so Allie's point is when you see pus, when you see accumulation of white cells in these packets we call pus, that's often bacterial. Virus doesn't do that. And so that's one of the ways you can distinguish.
Well, how does a doctor tell when you go in which one you have?
Sometimes it requires testing. Literally swabbing the throat, testing your blood, and that kind of thing. But it's 9 times out of 10, it's a virus. That's the thing. And by the way, there are antiviral medications for the flu and for various kinds of flus to shorten the duration of it. And you should give it to people in your household that can prevent them from coming down with it as well.
What's the medicine that'll shorten it?
There's various ones. There's some, one you can even take one dose of. So it depends on what the doctor wants to use. It's in the class of I think people have heard of things like Zovirax or things we use for shingles that we use for herpes. Those are viruses, and so we use those medications for that.
Part of the problem was I misunderstood and I used my fleshlight to try to diagnose it. I didn't have
a
fleshlight,
so
and now I understand.
Bean is leaving us with a whole new sense of himself.
He's burning this place.
He's been saving this for 20 years.
He's burning this place down, Drew.
Hey, Dr. Drew, a thought.
Yep.
Because I know that the Heal app will come and do a flu shot for you.
Yes.
Could we get... Bean will be here tomorrow.
I have to.
Could we get Heal to come in and do flu shots for us? And could Bean get one now while he's sick?
You're not supposed to get it while you're sick. How far are we out of your illness? You still sick?
I'm feeling better. I'm feeling a little bit better every day. It's probably been about 6 days since I started presenting symptoms.
That's impossible. But that's, again, that's why you see a doctor.
Let that
practitioner come in and make that call.
Should we put Bean in another studio?
That's what I'm asking,
so we don't get
essentially.
Sick.
He probably is not. How's the sore throat?
Don't give me problem.
Fine. Much better. Much better.
Drew,
listen to me. I sound better.
One follow-up question, because I have to get the flu shot for my baby, obviously.
Yeah.
Why am I nervous it's going to give me the flu? Why have I been given that feeling?
Yeah, it's a bizarre thing. I took my flu shot day before yesterday. My arm is still a little sore. It's just proteins. The idea that you could get the flu, your immune system can react to those proteins, and you can feel kind of crappy, like flu-like.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get and sometimes getting the shot will introduce some bacteria from your skin, and you can get a local reaction.
You just take an antibiotic for that, though.
Well, that you're right.
You are.
That's
right.
Right.
Look at you learning.
And today, Bean learned.
There's nothing flu about the vaccine. You can't get the flu from the vaccine.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. I generally think doctors are overrated, but I think this has been a good talk, and I'm glad you joined us today. DrDrew.com is where you want to go for all the podcasts. Don't forget Monday through Friday, noon till 3 on 790 KABC.
And Allie, DM me again. I'll make sure the Heal can get in there.
Thank you.
The Heal app we talked about.
I don't like this. Drew backs up Allie on everything. I don't like it.
I don't even like that they DM.
Right?
I'm nervous about Allie's DMs, to tell you the truth. Thanks, Doc. We'll talk to you.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Halloween songs.
Halloween songs. Okay. I mean, 'tis the season.
Yes.
Allie, you all right?
No.
Are you going to be all right?
I'm going to be fine.
Okay, I'm just
it's
checking.
It's not a big deal that, it you was. Know, just one of my favorite actors is sitting right next to me, and all I want to do is sing with him.
Can I hit this button, Allie?
Yes, please.
We're going to sing and we're going to dance!
Very talented Walton Goggins in studio with us right now. He is the star of two hit TV shows.
Running through the house with a pickle in my mouth.
Oh my God.
Here we go. Ready?
Just two little kids outside misbehaving.
And of course, it's from the Smash HBO comedy called Righteous Gemstones. You can also see him on The Unicorn Thursday nights at 8:30 on CBS. He is everywhere, you guys. Walton Goggins, welcome to K-Rock, sir.
Thank you so much for having me, y'all.
I've loved so many things you're in.
Well,
so many.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
He's like, this is creepy. No, why does everyone love me?
Allie gave him a standing ovation when he walked in.
Red-faced.
Did you think that song was going to have a non-ironic response? People just like the jam.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we filmed it in Charleston, South Carolina, and we started working on the song about a month kind of beforehand, before filming kind of began, and it was, you know, we just were in a room like practicing kind of this routine, and we loved it.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't think about like how it would play out like to the audience. Really, we just wanted to kind of get it right for this world.
You clogged your ass off too. It wasn't just singing;
it was tap
you
dancing.
Were clogging.
Yeah, well, I'm a clogger.
I don't know if I believe that.
I really am
really?
A clogger. Yeah, yeah.
What?
I mean, I'm from a little town, Lithia Springs, Georgia, and you know our local kind of YMCA. I mean, we didn't have volleyball where I grew up.
Right.
You know, we didn't have surfing.
You had clog.
You know, we had my mom put me in a clogging class.
Wow.
You know?
Really?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And she was a clogger. And so,
long line of cloggers.
Yeah, yeah, from a clogging Goggins.
Oh no!
I'm just saying.
Oh, no.
There you go.
Oh,
I
said excellent.
When you walk into the room and Kevin says, and I'm sure you hear it everywhere you go, I love so many things you've been in. I can't imagine what it's like walking down the street with you because you have audiences from so many different shows. You don't know when someone approaches you whether they're a Shield man or a Sons of Anarchy or Justified or whatever. It must just be a mystery to you every time you meet a new fan.
You know, that's a great when you really kind of think about that. You know, some people, you know, Walton Goggins. You know, I'll get that. I've gotten that for like a while, or I'll still get Walter Scroggins or like,
yeah, sure,
like, whatever, you know, whatever that is. But you're right. You know, I've been around for a long time. Kind of I've been like in the television world really since the beginning of the Shield. So it's been about 19 years for me, and I've had such great fortune. You know, yeah.
Do you have a favorite of the roles you've played? A character that you love more than any other? If that's possible.
The Unicorn Thursdays at 8:30 on CBS.
There you go, Kelly Call. Thank you so much, Kelly and David Nevins and Tom Sherman. No, and I do. I love this Wade Felton. You know, I really love them all, and I love them all equally, and they all hold a really special place in my heart. The thing that I don't know how you guys feel when you walk down the street and some people, you know, stop
unnoticed. Just tired.
No, until they hear you talk.
Sometimes,
But for me, I don't have a passive fan. Like either you really don't like me.
Well, you're
Or you really like me, or you have no idea who I am, and so you never
there's
really
no
know.
Just, hey, yeah. You're okay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So the conversations that I get in are pretty deep, you know, and they go deep really quickly. And I like that personally. I think that if somebody spends an hour a week with you for 12 hours a year or 13 hours a year has been the case, my case, that they deserve as much time as you have to sit and talk.
With this many products, you must also get the fan who knows you but can't place...
Hey, it's that guy!
...where they know you from.
Yeah, you know...
They ask you to go through your entire IMDb?
So, you know, I think... I wish that I had a card with my, like, IMDb. You just kind of hand
You
hand
may know
that
me
out,
from such
you
know?
From
as
the
as.
Unicorn. No,
yeah.
That's not it.
Yeah.
But
I think there is
Sons
a period.
Of Anarchy. No.
Yeah, that's right. No, to have no... The Hateful Eight.
No. I know you from something else.
Yeah. You know, I was working in South Africa, and for a while, I've been there for a bit over the past few years, and somebody, you know, that this conversation happened with a, you know, somebody on the street, and I said, maybe you're a Quentin Tarantino fan. First person in my life who I've ever heard say, Quentin Tarantino, like who is Quentin Tarantino? Oh, he had no, you know, no idea who Quentin Tarantino is, and then we found out that he was a fan of Major League Back to the Minors.
Amazing. Can you deny
I'll
being,
take it.
Can you deny being in that?
I'll take it.
No, that's not me. That wasn't me.
That's so, I mean, that is great, though, to watch you go from being a bad guy in so many things to now showing off your comedic chops between,
and
obviously,
your sweetness between Gemstones and
Unicorn.
But just with Gemstones and this, it is, on Sunday night, it was whiplash to watch you as Uncle Baby Billy and then to see you as such a love bug sweetheart on the Unicorn. I was like, what is happening with him?
Well, I'm gushing, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. And you know,
as an actor, it's a dream to be able to play these kinds of roles. I imagine. Let's talk about Wade for a minute, just because I mentioned the sweetness. I mean, this looks like, if you don't watch it, it looks like another sitcom, but it has so many layers to it because of how great Wade is. I mean, we don't see very many characters like him on TV, right?
You know, thank you for saying that. You know, we have 22 minutes to tell our story.
Yeah.
And when CBS kind of came to me, it was a multicam, and a really good friend of mine, Peyton Reed, the director of Ant-Man and the Wasp, mm-hmm. was producing it along with his two partners, Mike Schiff and Bill Martin. And it was a story based on a really good friend of theirs that they had known since college, who lost his wife to cancer. And I said, well, I couldn't do this as a multicam. That's not really kind of my medium. And they said, well, would you do it as a single cam? And we said, okay, if we really honor, you know, what this guy is going through and what his friends are going through. And they said, that's exactly what we want to do. And CBS said, that's what we want to do. And they gave us the space, really, to make people gut laugh.
Oh, right? Yeah. Michaela Watkins and Rob Corddry are hysterical in every single scene. But then a minute later, I got a little tear going down my face.
You know
what? It's got so much heart.
Thank you. Well, I think that struggle is universal. You know, mm-hmm. really, I think we've all, you don't have to have lost a spouse. I mean, you could lose a job. Your dog could have passed away. You could have, whatever great change kind of happens in your life, whatever Rubicon you're crossing, on the other side of it, there is a new normal that you have to adjust to. And I think that's what we all have in common. And through this experience with Wade Felton, for me anyway, it is something that, if done correctly, you know, if you hit that
that's
tone,
the key.
That's right.
The key.
Yeah.
And you hit that, and you hit that tone, which
Thank
is
you, man.
Which
now,
is
every
that
woman
what,
in
that's
America
what makes
wants
it
to
work.
Date you, Walton.
And he's married.
I feel like your wife probably doesn't love that aspect.
It's truly false advertising.
Yeah. I am. You know, I tell you, like having been Michael Chiklis was our leader on the show.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
And having been given an opportunity to support him and to see what it takes to be, you know, number one on the call sheet, kind of in that way, and then with Tim on Justified to be in this position with on the Unicorn as Wade Felton, and to have the great Rob Corddry and Michaela Watkins, Omar Benson Miller, and Maya Lynn Robinson, man, to have, and my daughters, these two, Ruby J and Michaela, to have my back is you know, I'm a lucky man.
That's the sweetest part about that is I have girls too, and they're everything to me. And when you play Wade, you can tell that that's genuinely how you feel, and that's the crux of the show. If you miss that, the show's not
well,
that great.
Like,
you know what I mean?
I do. I know exactly what you mean. And this is more close to who I am as a person than anything I've ever.
Not the Shield?
No, or Floyd Crowder. I mean, I'm a little Venus Van Damme.
See, they were a little hateful.
A little hateful. Lee Russell. You get some Lee Russell in there. It's a lot going on in my head, guys. No, but I have a, my wife and I have a son, and he just started Cub Scouts yesterday.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
But he is the. It's hard to say without tearing up. Like you, he is the love of my life, and we get to explore that like on this show. And so, what was the hardest part for me really about doing this initially was I put the clothes on, and they're very similar to the clothes that I wear. And I started walking, and I walk like me, and I started talking, and I talk like me, and I got a lot of anxiety. You know, right like after those kind of first initial meetings, because I thought, well, I have nothing to hide behind. I don't think anyone's going to be interested in just me.
Doing a different character, you can totally hide behind that.
You can.
Yeah,
you know?
With the hair, the prosthetics, the teeth and stuff.
Or just like even like Boyd Crowder, you know, for me, you know, representing rural America is a big, you know, it's very important to me.
Yeah.
Shane Mandrell and the Shield and what that was saying about, you know, the pursuit of security in our country after 9/11. Like, all of these things really mean something to me. And Wade Felton means as much to me, if not more than any of them, because of where I am now as a father. But once I kind of got used to it, it's like, well, wait a minute. You know what? Don't worry about other people judging you. You're enough for you. And if you just come from your heart and you tell this story as honestly as you possibly can and honor the struggle that we all have, well, then let the chips fall where they may.
Is it difficult to get to that point? To where you just say, I am enough?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the great journey in life, isn't it? You know, it's for me, that transition really kind of happened. You know, I was lost in my 20s, like not in a really negative way, not like drugs or anything like that. It was just youth, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it took me to get to like 35 where that really landed for me. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. Everything's okay. You're going to be okay.
I still feel like a fraud. 100% fraud.
Oh, look, they're clapping. A couple people are clapping.
Wow. Wait a minute.
They're in a golf tournament.
It's not a lot of people. Very quiet. It's a couple people.
It's just like two people. That's
it's just mattering.
I can only get applause from two people everywhere I go.
I feel like this has been a journey with Walton.
Listen,
for the past few minutes.
It's never hard for a guy who, when he's failing, can just clog. You know what I mean?
He's always got a backup.
Just clog. Yeah. It's the end of the
story. You know what? You know what's cool about that?
They are still clapping.
They're still clapping.
I have no new dance moves.
Just clogs.
I mean, they're like 20 years old, my dance moves. But if I walk into a club and I start clogging,
stop clapping. For God's sake,
give it up.
Please.
Walton, we are out of time. Be careful with that whole pick
in
your mouth thing.
Oh, my God, I want to move. I want to move in with you guys.
I know.
You're allowed in.
Hey, what a joy.
Come back for everything, please.
Seriously, Righteous Gemstones just completed its first season, but you can see them all on demand on HBO. And The Unicorn, I'm telling you, we don't often recommend CBS comedies, but this is one.
And I'll tell you this.
For reals, we don't. But this is one you guys will love.
And when you get into new shows, you're always nervous it's going away. This show just got a full season pickup yesterday.
Yes.
So it's here to stay.
Thursday night today.
It's also Thursday.
That means it's time for NFL Talk, you guys. RJ Bell is here.
This is RJ Bell. RJ Bell. Yes, he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
RJ is the founder of pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. 1-2 week last week, still winning on the season, RJ, but unfortunately the Seattle game is the one you got right and you broke my heart all over again. Way to go, RJ. How you doing, buddy?
Good. You know, that was a heck of a game. Very physical, very intense, and in a way the NFL, the fact they only have those 16 regular season games, I think, is one of the tricks to the success. Baseball, basketball, it's just not the intensity of the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely. You're 13-8 on the season, so our listeners are still making money. We know that's tough to do. Let's take a look at what we have for this week. The New York Giants +7 at Detroit. Is Detroit that bad?
Well, remember now, Detroit is favored by a touchdown here. We like the Giants. And the reason being, I believe, one, the Giants aren't as bad as they looked last week. They had a game against Arizona. They were at home. A lot of people bet them. They lost. And usually people hate betting a team a second time. In fact, one of our losers last week was the Giants. Mm-hmm. We're doubling back. You know why? Because Detroit did something this week that we always like to fade. It's the week of the trading deadline. And they traded one of their most popular defensive players. So when a team starts to trade at the deadline, it's a sign from the front office they're giving up on the season.
Oh.
And to me, the other teammates, well, they look around and say, wait a minute, our favorite guy, one of our favorite guys is leaving, but we're stuck here still having to play. Yeah, they're making good money, but that's the way they think. And to me, that Detroit trade is why I want to fade Detroit. So pick number one, Giants +7.
Yeah, they got rid of one of their star players, if you can call it that, as a Lion, right? For like a fifth round draft pick or something. So they really are cleaning house.
It looked like, if anything, it looked like a salary dump. And that's something the players have little tolerance for when they feel like they can still win. I mean, Detroit could have made, and they still can, but they were on the brink of a playoff hunt. And the front office says, no, we're going to trade away a key guy.
Gotcha. All right. Best bet from RJ this week is the Kansas City Chiefs +4 hosting Green Bay.
Now, this might sound a little zen, a little paradoxical, but here it goes. All right. Patrick Mahomes, he's out for Kansas City. Mm-hmm. He is the most valuable player in the NFL. but he's overrated.
Oh,
it's
come
true
on, RJ.
Because we think he's worth about 8 points. That's more than any other player in the NFL.
Sure. You are hating on your co-star from Ballers, RJ?
Yes. Well, it wasn't the same episode. To me, I have a special affinity for those on my episode, no doubt. Travis sure. Scott, by the way, before he was as famous as he is now.
Oh, yeah. When you think RJ Bell, think Travis Scott.
Oh, you know that? Alex in The Rock, I think, is
by
the key.
By the way, Mahomes with a +8 rating, I'm fine with. I think he's that good. No?
I agree, but the market moved about 10 points. So that's the thing. You're right. That 8 is a good number. I agree. 10, I think it's a bit much. So we're getting value by playing Kansas City. On the other hand, you got a Green Bay team that's played more home games than any team in the NFL, and they're very good at home. Now they're on the road, and the reality is Aaron Rodgers is a .500, a coin flip quarterback on the road. Pick number 2, Kansas City +4 without Mahomes.
RJ Bell on the line from LasVegasPregame.com talking about NFL Week 8, including Thursday Night Football tonight. Is there any sadder team in the NFL than the Washington Redskins? You predict a big, big win for Minnesota.
Yeah, and it's very rare. In fact, in all, 6 years now, Kevin and Bean, this is maybe the second or third time I've taken a favorite over 2 touchdowns. But here's why. Trend of the week is if you have a Thursday night favorite of more than 10 points. This is 16 tonight, right? Thursday night favorite more than 10. 22-0 straight up. All right, that makes sense. 17-4 against the spread, one push. And the rationale is simple. When you have only 3 days to prepare instead of 6, the talent becomes even more important. And when you have so much talent that you're favored by more than 10, that exerts itself. That dictates these Thursday games more than anything. We're 17-4-1 in that spot. Thus, we're playing Minnesota. One last thing in this game. Washington fired Jay Gruden. Mm. You might say, oh, he wasn't much of a coach anyway. You're right. But he also was the offensive coordinator of the team. And him leaving that role has been a real negative for Washington. Minnesota's the pick.
All right, so recapping RJ's picks this week, the big dog is the Giants +7 at Detroit. Best bet, Kansas City +4 hosting Green Bay. The big game, the Vikings -16, as just described, hosting the Washington Redskins. Before we let you go, RJ, will Las Vegas win or lose a ton of money if the Nationals continue the way they're going and win this World Series?
Well, I tell you, what's amazing is, I'm guessing you've heard this, if you look at what the Nationals' record was like June 1, this is a team that was a real big underdog.
Oh, they're like 40-1 back then or something, right?
What number had you heard?
40-1 is what I heard.
I had heard even higher, up to 60-70-1 if you had shopped around in June. And remember, the Astros, clear favorites entering this series. So the fact it's 2-0 Washington, big surprise, but it's been a big surprise about Washington the whole way. And wouldn't you know it, this is a team that lost probably the best player in franchise history this offseason. Yeah. And this is the year it looks like they have a heck of a chance to win it.
Yep. When you're hot, you're hot. They've won 18 out of the last 20.
Streaky
game. All right. RJ Bell's Dream Preview is a great podcast available on iTunes discussing both college football and NFL episode each week. Don't forget, the Daily Radio Show is straight out of Vegas with RJ Bell, weekdays 3 to 4 on Fox Sports Radio. And pregame.com is the site you want to go for all that and more. On Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Great chat, my friend. We'll do it again next time. Thank you.
Thank you.
'Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell. Yes, he's RJ Bell.
We didn't get a chance to talk about the really important sports event going on today.
Uh-huh. Oh, we mentioned the World Series, the NFL. What else?
The LA Galaxy playing LAFC.
Okay.
In the playoffs. Tonight.
Why are Allie and Kevin not making a bet about who has to wear a suit tomorrow?
I will never make that bet again.
To explain to people like me who know nothing about soccer, is this a one-game playoff?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Yes, it's a one-game playoff.
This is like the wild card
before,
baseball?
Like before, it used to be a two-game where you had to count up the goals and a tie was okay. Mm-hmm. They just cut that all out.
This is sudden death.
Win or go home.
Okay.
Basically is what's happening.
And is it always, how did it end up being both LA teams?
It just happened that way because
standings.
The Galaxy beat Minnesota in last week's game.
Got it.
So LAFC was so good during the season, they had a bye. Now they meet tonight, and the winner moves on, and the loser goes home.
And great. LAFC has some issues with the Galaxy.
Well, I mean, they probably should have beat us 3 out of 4 times or something like that.
And you play for the Galaxy,
I
right?
do. Yeah. Uh-huh. And they didn't.
Yeah.
And we beat them several times when we weren't supposed to at all. Mm-hmm. So we sort of have their numbers.
It's concerning.
Saying.
It's concerning to me, a huge LAFC
fan. You're not
fan.
An LAFC fan.
Yeah.
Don't even say
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I love all
Who's
of
the
them.
Leading scorer?
Vela.
I didn't think you'd have it.
Nice!
That was quite a guess.
Good pull.
Nice. Knowledge.
Good pull. Are you going to the game?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't miss it.
All right, because you are playing in it.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm available. Uh-huh. I'm not sure they're going to call me into it, but right. I'm available.
I mean, even though my very good friend Zlatan Ibrahimovic is on the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're still rooting against him.
Yeah, well, I look better in black and gold.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's how you should choose your team.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Look, that's why there's so many Raider fans.
Last game, Zlatan.
Silverin.
Zlatan scored 90 seconds into the game and just stood in front of their supporters and was like, how about that?
Yeah,
it was crazy.
He's something.
So anyway, that's tonight.
Yeah. Okay.
How do you know Kevin again?
Soccer.
Allie is here. Time for what's happening on a Thursday morning Kevin and Bean show.
By the way, I met Zlatan for 12 seconds. I don't want people to be like, how are you friends with Zlatan? I'm not at all. Met him. Very kind. I was like, oh, I could be a Galaxy fan. Until I went to a game at LAFC. And I was like, well, this is gorgeous. How many bars
saw,
in this
the
place?
Hawk.
I saw the, well, yeah, it's not a hawk. It's a falcon.
Right. That's way different.
Yeah. It's very different.
So you're picking it because of the stadium.
And Will Ferrell is a part owner.
And how many LAFC games have you watched this year?
2. And 1 I was at.
You were forced to watch.
Well, because
you were
there.
With
yeah.
a friend. Though.
With a friend. Yeah.
Who was there? With or without you. You didn't go. You didn't get your friend to go. She got you to go.
Right.
Okay,
she introduced me to the team.
I'm
and I was
saying.
Like, this is a great team.
It is
and
a great
this
team.
Bar right by our seats is an open bar before the game? Okay. LAFC? Yes. They do everything right.
Well, they do have the best record in MLS
yeah.
for this year. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to move
yeah.
on.
It's just one game.
We'll see
down to one game. Yeah.
Yes.
Plus, that Zlatan guy turns out pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew that.
And don't forget...
John Sedlak, seen here with his pet falcon.
It's true, you guys. I wonder who's going to be the falconator. I'm sure there's a name. What's the name of the person? Falconer?
Falconer.
Okay. I like falconator better.
I like falconator better as well.
But I wonder who it's going to be tonight.
I don't know, but that's irrelevant.
And it's not
irrelevant. It's a sporting
irrelevant.
Event.
I know, but okay. It's kind of a big deal. I got screwed. I got Garcetti the night I went. I was like, womp, womp, fix the potholes. That's what I yelled at him. But then a few nights after that, the whole cast of the Mayans was there.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
I know. I
saying,
think I know
I got,
who it is. I think I read who it is.
Who?
Elf.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah.
What would Elf say, do you think, Kevin?
No problem. Now that it's called the Falconator, it should be Arnold Schwarzenegger promoting his new film coming out.
That would be good.
Oh, that would be huge. Kevin, you
that's
upset,
not the point.
You upset you brought up the game
yes.
tonight. Mm. All right.
I'm just saying there's soccer involved, uh-huh. and it's the playoff time.
It's a huge, huge game.
It's a huge game.
Winner go home.
Correct.
Winner take all.
And it's at LAFC.
Yeah, it
so
is.
So you got their fans to deal
yeah.
with. So good times.
And that whole, what is what are the fans called on the side that jump the whole game?
The supporters group.
I'm sure they have a name, and I apologize for not knowing it.
Oh,
being
you don't
a huge
know that.
Fan like
yeah,
I am.
That's odd.
I will say this.
It's odd that you don't know that.
I wound up watching them for a large chunk of the game because it's fascinating.
Yeah.
They're just singing, they're chanting, they've got the flags,
so you
they're
weren't
jumping
watching
up and down.
Team
a true
play.
Fan, a true fan.
No,
you were watching
was,
the fans
this was
cheer.
During the breaks in the action.
Oh,
they were playing the Red Bulls, and they weren't that great.
They're called the 3252s. Terrible name, by the way.
Is that really
yeah.
it?
That is it.
Huh. They're fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
And they get so hot because and it's going to be so hot tonight.
Yes.
A lot of sweat. LAFC, my team.
It's not your team, and it's okay. annoying that you say that because I actually have a team.
That's like a real life nightmare.
I actually have a team that I care very much
so
about,
upset.
And I'm sorry I brought it up because you're a horrible person.
Isn't it awesome, though, that if LAFC wins, like, they're going to really bring soccer to LA?
Finally.
She says that because she knows the Galaxy already won 5 championships and we're going for number 6.
Actually, Muggs saw that on the news. Some a-hole LAFC supporter that was like, I mean, it's just cool that LAFC is really about soccer too, LA. What douchebag.
And you're one of them.
I said to Beckham when I met him, who was on LAFC, I said to David... He wasn't?
No. He was on the Galaxy.
Yeah, that's what I meant. It's the Galaxy. My bad.
You go straight to hell.
Years ago, and I said to him, quote, I just want to thank you so much for doing everything you've done to bring soccer just to the forefront in Los Angeles.
You said that?
And then I literally went, oh my God, shut up. It was a total I carried a watermelon moment. Like, right. Stop talking to David Beckham about soccer, which you don't watch.
Like, you represented soccer for you. Like,
I did. As the commissioner of soccer, thank you for bringing it.
Like you're doing now.
Yeah.
Yeah, stop it.
Well, and my allegiance has changed.
What's happening?
Now I'm a huge fan of LAFC.
Why would you ever miss this?
I hate you so much.
A minute to give a story.
Some birthdays for you. Kevin Klein, V.D. Wong, Drake, Wayne Rooney, and Jalen Ramsey.
Unbelievable. Halloween is here. I'm so excited, it's scary. Let's start. King size candy, getting king size candy. King size candy, getting king size candy. King size candy, getting king size candy. On Halloween, getting king size candy. Oh, Rusta G, check the date. Halloween is here, gotta regulate. My costume look ill like Dallas Buyers. Katniss Erdeen, y'all know I'm on fire. Ring the doorbell and be polite. If you give me king size, I'll be back all night. Cup so many flavors, I can count them. Big, big butterfingers, yeah, I'm about them. Haters get so mad, cause they can't stop it. It ain't trick or treat, and if you ain't got it, mess around, I'ma catch a body. If I see Nick wafers, I throw him in the party. Whoop, king size candy, getting king size candy. King size candy, getting king size candy. King size candy, getting king size candy. On Halloween, getting king size candy. Early in the night, fill my candy bag. So that's not a problem, I got another bag. I'm bussing, running laps on these fools. Hit the house twice is Rusta G's rule. Get my candy, you don't have a chance. I'll send you to the sea, SpongeBob SquarePants. Let chuck you from the flake, I'll run them up. Fun size has me like, yeah. Raisins, toothbrush, dots, and apples. If you give me these, you're just an want my sneakers, Reese's, Kit Kats, and Twix. Put M&M's, Pop Rocks, and Nerds in the mix. Yeah. Back home, let's eat, you know that sound. Candy crunch food, candy crunch by the pound. Like crunch, 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 talking. Crunch, 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 get it. King size candy, getting king size candy. King size candy, getting king size candy. King size candy, getting king size candy. On Halloween, getting king size candy. King size candy, getting king size candy. King size candy, getting king size candy. King size candy, getting king size candy. On Halloween, getting king size candy. Toss up your sweets, toss up your sweets, toss up your candy and your treats. Come on, toss up your sweets, toss up your sweets, toss up your gum bars, pops, toss up your treats. I hear the candy like a bat, Dracula. Stacking bars all night, stamina. King size, I wear bling buys. With my ring pops, yeah, that's my ring size. King size, king size, candy. King size, king size, candy. On Halloween, king size candy. I got a giant Toblerone I haven't eaten yet. Okay, cool.
I mean, seriously, king size candy, right?
The legend.
Who's with me?
We know at Jensen's house he has it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still think he's just saying that. He's just bragging.
No,
because
like,
he knows none of us are going to his house to like to source some on it. So he just like, throws it around.
What if
like,
I just show up with a bag just by myself?
You don't should, man. Not.
Listen, it's a Danielle edict. She is very much into the law of king size candy bars. I wish we didn't do it because one, saves us money if we didn't
do it. Yeah, very expensive.
Two,
so
I know
you're the
people,
Grinch.
They're coming back. They're coming back for seconds.
How can they not?
I know.
You're giving. You're wearing gold.
I know.
For God's sakes. Is this like when a celebrity goes out to dinner, they have to tip big, otherwise word will spread? Does she worry that people will recognize her and then say, oh, she's a cheap bitch?
No, because she doesn't even answer the door. She goes, you go answer the door.
She's a cheap bitch?
Well, that's what they might say if they are dissatisfied with the candy at the door.
Yeah, a lot of 3-year-olds are like, wow, what a cheap bitch. I'll never watch that show again didn't know existed.
If she hands over like the bad gum, you know, the awful sort of like stale, what are those? bubble
bazooka?
Yeah, bazooka yeah. gums.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
they're rock
the heart
hard.
Is rock.
Yeah, I love awful. Those, by the way.
Oh, of
love
course
those.
You
of
would.
Course.
Of course you do. Rosa G, by the way, who we are so in love with for not only her King Size Candy song, she had the 4th of July song, mm. she had a Labor Day song, she had a Thanksgiving song, a Christmas song. I miss Rosa G. She was great.
She is great.
She's great. All right, Allie, time for one final look at what's happening here on this Thursday morning Kevin and Bean Show.
Guys, Punky Brewster has quite the heartthrob joining the cast.
Okay. Of what?
Punky Brewster. Reboot.
You said that like it was exciting.
Come on. Well, Freddie Prinze Jr. Is joining. He's going to play Punky's ex-husband, you guys. Who's with me?
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm very confused. Punky Brewster is a TV show.
Yes.
Not a person.
Correct. That's Soleil Moon Frye.
Okay. And it's like, coming back?
Yes.
Yes.
I think you were out of town or sick or something
for this one. Is this Disney Plus?
No.
No.
This is
Peacock.
Yeah. The NBC purchasable service.
Yeah. They're doing Saved by the Bell.
There's a streaming service called Peacock. Sure there is.
Yeah.
No, it's
there
real.
Really is.
Yeah. It's launching April 2020. I swear to God.
Okay.
Yeah. Punky Brewster, by the way, used to be a huge, huge show that we all loved. And then we would dress up as Punky Brewster for Halloween.
Yeah.
And we got golden retrievers and a best friend named Cherry Johnson. It's just what we did.
Danielle got a very sweet email about maybe coming into that show for a little.
Well, please do, because I love Punky Brewster, and I'm excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. Freddie Prinze Jr. is going to play Travis, Punky's ex-husband. Constantly in and out of town as a working musician, but he's still a great dad. And still a lot of chemistry between him and old Punky. Will they or won't they? Gotta tune into the Peacock.
I haven't heard a word since you started.
Cherry Johnson, will she return?
She is back, okay. Yes. I went to elementary school with Cherry Johnson. I'm sorry for being so excited.
No, I'm happy to hear she's coming back.
Big deal, guys.
I love that you're excited. I just can't match that enthusiasm myself.
Yeah, I understand. Okay. I get it, you guys. Sharon Osbourne says that her plastic surgeries have left her hardly able to feel her mouth.
Oh, man.
She shared her thoughts about plastic surgery and a story about one of her procedures yesterday on an episode of The Kelly Clarkson Show. She recalled that she had a mouth lift, which
I've never heard of that.
I don't even know what a mouth lift is.
I swear it went.
But she said that it caused numbness and a temporary curled lip. She said, for the first week, I can hardly feel my mouth. And now, to be honest with you, I couldn't find my mouth. It was numb and one side went up and I looked like Elvis. She said,
it's like after the dentist.
Family members were like, why are you snarling at me? She's like, I had a mouth lift. It's just how my face looks now.
A mouth lift?
Why?
That's a thing.
I don't know. A mouth lift.
I don't want my mouth any higher or more intense or anything.
Okay.
I just want it where it is.
She's very, I will say this about her. She's very open about her plastic surgery.
Doesn't make it less weird.
Which is refreshing, though.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. She said she recently got a facelift, debuted the whole new look on The Talk season 10 premiere. And that was like a big topic. Like, tune in to see Sharon's new face.
Hmm.
Good times, you guys. Good times.
She's a cool person.
I don't know if we're saying that at all. But a poo person, Girls Gone Wild founder, Joe Francis.
His name's still around.
He was nearly kidnapped in Mexico when several armed men broke into a home, robbed everyone, then attempted to take Joe and his group of friends. Like, attempted to kidnap them, you guys.
He's a solid, solid
no.
No, he's definitely not.
Joe and the others, which were mostly staff working at that house, were tied up with wire and robbed. Shortly after, neighborhood security had a scuffle with the gunmen who fled the area until police spotted them. But three out of the four got away.
I don't even think he's a doctor.
I don't think he is either.
He's not. That would not be the first time he was kidnapped either.
Yeah, there's bad stuff.
If you've been kidnapped more than once, it's the issue's you.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's a pretty safe statement.
Yeah.
I think that might be true, you guys. Woo!
He is God's gift.
Wow, Jensen, that is a strange thing to say. Very weird. So Kevin Hart is still in recovery mode after his awful car crash that was only last month, you guys. He was scheduled to appear at LA Mission's 9th annual Legacy of Vision Gala, which is tonight, to receive an honorary award for the work with the organization. But TMZ says he's not going to be able to make it, and Nick Cannon is hosting, which do you think that's why? He's like, wait, who's hosting? Mm-hmm. I'm not coming. Nick Cannon is hosting, and he is reportedly going to accept the award on behalf of Kevin and his wife, Anika. Because he's got such a big boner. Ma'am? That is a strange thing to say right there. Bean, you sound like you're going to say something.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Just any story that involves Nick Cannon, I don't know why I don't understand how he continues to get work. Yeah. I really don't get it.
I think he's perfectly serviceable.
But is that what you want? Is that what you look for?
A lot of Hollywood does.
I was going to say, if you're trying to get home early,
versus bad? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but why not good?
Oh, well,
isn't there an alternative where you could have somebody who has something to say about anything ever?
But maybe way fewer options, I think.
Yeah.
Ryan Seacrest has made a whole career out of being...
Serviceable.
He's a billionaire out of it.
Yeah.
Perfectly
He's
fine.
He's all right.
He did once try to give a high five to a blind guy, though, and that is great.
It was
maybe
wonderful.
The greatest moment in history.
It's almost like worth the career so that we have that forever.
And Nick Cannon does still dress like a genie, so I guess he's got that going on.
There are two cool things about them. Nick Cannon dresses as a genie, and Ryan Seacrest once tried to high-five a blind guy.
Okay.
Worth it.
Parallel tracks, those careers.
Yep.
Very
sliding
doors. So Netflix announced yesterday that more than 25 million households watched El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie, in the weeks since the film debuted. They, of course, are notoriously cagey about when they reveal numbers for specific programs. There's the sound right there. Last week, Nielsen estimated that El Camino, which currently has a 92 rating on Rotten Tomatoes, netted 6.5 million viewers in its first 3 days of streaming circulation.
That's a lot less.
Mm-hmm. It's weird. It's weird, guys.
Could Netflix be talking worldwide?
Oh, sure, I'm sure.
Because Nielsen wouldn't be.
Yeah, Nielsen would just be America, right?
Yeah, so
well,
that may be a certain amount of boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all kind of a weird... Everyone has a weird system in ratings. It makes no sense to me.
It's true, you guys. Yeah. It's really true.
Except for radio, which is spot on.
It's absolutely right.
Oh, they don't miss a single listener.
No. It's perfect.
Good peoples.
Got to wear a bracelet. So
and headphones don't count. If you're listening to something on headphones...
Yeah. And if you walk into a store...
Forever 21.
Forever 21, and they're playing a radio station. It picks up that you are now a listener of that radio station. You're at a gas station pumping gas. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, someone has a loud boombox in their car.
What? Legally,
why do they have a boombox?
Legally, we love it, and everything's great.
Oh, no, it's the best system in the world.
Great. Everything's great.
But also, it doesn't work.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
I call this Obamagate.
I don't think that's necessary. RuPaul announced that his Drag Race franchise is getting a spinoff series with all celebrity guest competitors titled RuPaul's Celebrity Drag Race.
How have they waited this long to do this idea?
Honestly, because everything is coming up RuPaul. Everything. Like, he's doing so much, it's insane. But the show is going to launch in 2020. Each episode of the upcoming spinoff will revolve around three celebrity guests who undergo a drag transformation aided by some favorite Drag Race alumni. They're going to compete for the holy title of America's Next Celebrity Drag Superstar, as well as prize money, which will be donated to the charity of their choice. But this news comes after the franchise's flagship show won its second consecutive Emmy, for Outstanding Competition Program, and they expanded to a live stage show in Las Vegas, and they're currently airing RuPaul's Drag Race UK. So RuPaul's been busy.
Yeah,
guys.
No kidding.
Sounds like a smash.
Yeah, it will be, for sure.
Who do you want to see on it?
Oh, gosh.
I'd like to see Mel Gibson.
Yeah, I don't know if he'd be so into it, but I definitely would want to...
It's a good choice, though.
Thank you.
...would want to see somebody that you wouldn't think would be able to pull off drag. Mm-hmm. Like somebody just... really, really hairy with huge, huge shoulders. And then you're like, oh, wait, no, I get it.
Chewbacca?
Chewbacca.
Chewbacca.
You look beautiful, both of you. And I do this for all the celebrities and famous people I meet, you know, localized on what you guys are known for. And it being RuPaul, I need to sing some RuPaul for you. Is that right? Here we go. You better work.
Cover girl.
Work it, girl.
Rule the world.
I think that's all I know.
Honestly, RuPaul, that could be all he knows.
Good one.
Well done.
Wow.
Good one.
Right there. Members
good
of
work.
RuPaul's drag race.
Yeah, Trixie and Katya.
He did his research.
Yeah, he did.
Not before that.
No, no. Some birthdays for you. Actors B.D. Wong and Kevin Kline. Wayne Rooney, soccer player Jalen Ramsey from the L.A. Rams. And Toronto Raptors number one fan, Drake.
Hello, I'm Jiminy Glick, and I'm sitting here with an absolute living legend of rapsterdom, the wonderful Drake. How are you? I'm what a super duper dude I hear you are.
Thank you.
This is so much fun for me because normally I interview celebrities, so this is going to be a change.
See, that's more about Jiminy than it was Drake, but still funny.
Who cares? Mm-hmm. Honestly, did I tell you about my rabbit hole that I went down of Jiminy Glick videos?
No.
I don't believe
like
so, no.
4 hours, I couldn't move. I was having the time of my life, but I'm still going to say I stand by it. Jiminy Glick interviewing Mel Gibson, not Mel Gibson. See, now I'm on it.
Which is some people tune out?
He would be great as a drag queen. That's why you keep thinking about it.
Mel Brooks. It might be the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. Thank you, everybody. Good night now.
All right.
That's what's happening. Who cares? Shut up.
Thanks, Alan. You drive home tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Would you like to take that back?
Bean.
Allie. Hey, what are you looking at me for?
Jensen.
Yeah. Oh, I'm in it, huh?
Never mind.
A little shade their direction, too.
Plus, tickets for Breakfast with Green Day. And we're going to talk to Russ McKamey, who is the guy that has a haunted house that he says no one has ever made it through.
Yeah, something
he has
shady.
A 40-page disclaimer you have to sign.
You have to take a physical, a drug test.
There's a lot of nonsense going on there. Yeah. We're going to try and find